I got a 12-pack of Rolling Rock for $7.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not bad.
I know. It's like almost 50 cents a beer, which is about what it's worth.
These were buy one, get one free.
I've never had it. What is it?
It's the hold on, bring the microphone a little closer to me. It's the Bud Light mixtail. I don't know. It's just cocktails that are super sugary. Hey, tell me, can you hear this? Hold on. Oop, not that. How about this?
Yes, I can. So, I saw last time around they talked about Daredevil. But I didn't want to listen because I've been watching it myself, and I wanted to talk about it this week.
Yeah, we basically made fun of you for not liking it.
It's very mediocre.
You are so wrong, sir. So wrong.
No. It's the least impressive of all the Marvel productions.
Then clearly you've never seen the movie Daredevil.
That wasn't a Marvel production.
Actually, I think it was a Marvel's.
I don't think it was. I agree that the show was better than the movie, but I didn't hate the movie either. I did hate Elektra. But I thought that the Kingpin, I think D'Onofrio played the character well. I just think they gave him a shit character. I think that the way that they portrayed him, I hated it.
Hey.
Hey.
What are you working on?
Me? Oh, going through my mail.
That's exciting.
No, not so much.
I thought you were
this one's going to be a bill.
For how much money?
Yeah, we're going to see. All right. Wait a second.
Wow, I wish that happened at my house for bills. I scoop mine up and just burn them. Oh my gosh, so okay, since we're talking about bills, I went to a bank and I talked to a vice president of the bank. And on the phone, after I had left him and he called me back, he said I was un-American because I didn't have any debt.
What?
He's like, in this column for your liabilities, there's nothing here. Don't you have a car payment? I said, I don't have a car. Oh, wow. It's like, that's un-American, you know.
Can't hear you, Scott. Still can't hear you.
Oh, yeah. How come I don't have the talkie thing? Where's the thing for messages? Where I can type things. Scott, can't
hear you.
Oh, now we hear you. What's going on?
Not much. My online community college class on web design.
You're going the commercial artist route now, Scott?
No. No, this is the back end stuff.
All right, jack up just a little bit.
That's what he said. Sorry. That was bad thing.
No, I'm trying to expand my skills because I'm not getting much interest with the ones I have.
Oh, dear. Do you shake it every once in a while? Just shake.
Doesn't help.
No. Well, what are you good at? I think we've... You know what? I think we've done this career development thing for Scott before.
Yes, we have done this bit before.
John, what's that toy that's hanging off of a thing? Did that commit suicide, that little toy?
It's a...
Are your children sending you a message?
It's a what do you call it?
What is? I don't know.
A fan pool. It's a.
But what is it of?
Florida State Seminole.
What? You can't hang the Seminoles.
Yeah, what he said. I don't care. What does that mean? It doesn't look. It looks like a pilgrim from here.
Oh, good.
Which is the opposite of what a Seminole is.
I know, and it's got like a green shirt on. Isn't the Seminoles the Indian chief guy?
Yes, it's supposed to be garnet and gold.
Yeah! No, that's not the color. Good for you, Scott. You're going to go far. How's that project coming along, anyway?
Still working on it.
I'm counting on you, Scott, because I talked about you with the vice president of a bank, you know?
Uh-oh.
It all hinges on you and your skill.
And that's where you made your first mistake.
Oh, shut up. You're hanging Native Americans in your house.
Oh, yeah,
I am not. That is
hate
not...
crime.
Hate crime.
That is not what I am doing.
Perhaps I should interject here and ask, why you gotta be all racist?
I know. John.
Yeah, John, we're going to tell Jenny about on you.
That's what I'm worried about.
Can't we hear can't hear you. You.
I know.
I said that's John. What I'm worried about.
Jenny?
Yeah.
She's going to come to your house, steal your dog, steal your wife's dog. That's what she's going to do.
Honestly, Jenny, who can you turn to, John?
Jenny, I got your number.
That too.
Yeah. 8675309. God, why is it that horrible song? We'll never get rid of it forever now.
Well, you can remember that, but you can't have any debt now, can you, Rox?
No, way I can't, because that I know.
Way to be so. One hand, you're 80s American, on the other hand, you're like freaking communist.
She's like one of those people that lived through the Depression. She's probably got canned goods under her bed.
Oh, that's what's holding up the bed.
Well, I know everybody's not here yet, but there is something very important we need to talk about, and it's this.
What do you got?
I got a surge.
Oh.
Oh, that food is from the 80s.
I've got a Bud Light mixtail. There,
what
buy
the
one,
hell?
Get one free. There,
it's
buy
a
one, get
mixed
one...
trail. Are there nuts in it?
No.
Tail. Yeah, the bear nuts come in it. It's very convenient.
It's a mixed tail. But anyway, yeah, there, buy one, get one free.
Rock. I've got this. It's a mixed drink. It's tonic and lavender bitters.
My Rolling Rock, I got a 12-pack for $7.
Wow.
Wow.
It's about what they're worth.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Actually, less.
They're kind of training wheels beer. They're good to start on.
Oh, I thought that was, oh my God.
PBR.
Milwaukee. It's training beer.
Bush Light.
No,
Old
no,
Milwaukee,
no. Old
Keystone,
Milwaukee
Keystone
was like,
Light.
Oh, yeah, Old Milwaukee is like water, barley water.
Yeah. If this was really 80s, then
oh my
somebody
God,
would be.
Did you wait a minute? Hold on. Did you make a soundboard of just me laughing? Really?
That thing is so old.
Is it really?
Is it?
Wow. Okay. Just checking.
Soundboard, we missed you.
I know. Yeah. So, yeah, barley pops. That's the old Milwaukee. You can probably, like, freeze them and put a popsicle stick in a can and just freeze it. And you got yourself a barley pop.
Is that...
How bad do you need fiber to have a barley pop?
I'm quite regular, Scott. All right, that's a creepy one. Get rid of that one.
Get rid of that one.
Yeah, John, you could have the Scott laugh versus the Rox laugh.
I know. Let's choose.
Sure.
Oh, God.
Wow. Why do you hate us, John?
He hates everybody equally, except Lee, who he hates just a little bit more.
Where do I start?
Well, and apparently,
can't hear you.
As I learned when I got on the podcast, he apparently hates Native Americans. I had no idea.
I know. Hanging in the air.
And his alma mater.
Yep. Al matter. It's an al matter.
He hates the giving mother.
Is that like the giving tree, but even more weird about the dismemberment?
God, I hate that book. That is like the worst book ever.
I know. I'm not a big fan either.
Gee.
But you know what? It stuck with us all.
Kind of like 8675309.
Because here's why. That tree should have, like, asked for a human sacrifice and for him, you know, that guy to take his wood away or whatever.
Rewrite it.
I will.
Yeah, Rox, honestly, considering that somebody wrote a version of Pat the Bunny called Pat the Zombie.
Yeah.
I really think that you know, the call it the giving and taking tree,
or feed the giving tree.
Yes.
Or if it's a spinoff, you could call it Fear the Giving Tree.
Mm. Ooh, I like that. Yes. Dear tree, can I have some of the apples to give to my girlfriend? Only if you give me your firstborn. Of course. If it'll give me pussy tonight, sure.
You need druids. You need druids.
In druids?
You need druids if you're going to do like an evil tree that murders babies.
Do we?
That's a big druidic thing.
Is it?
Yeah, they're very into trees.
Just don't get the kind.
I know, but you can't really rely on Wikipedia, you know.
Well, I will say this: that issue of the Avengers with Dr. Druid, that was really harrowing.
Dr. Druid and the Giving Tree. Yeah, hey, it's Dr. Jen. Let's all wait.
And Dr. Jen's back there.
Hey, by the way,
waving.
You're
on camera.
Yeah, now she's like, oh crap.
By the way, I am going to be...
Jason, I hate your friends!
I'm going to be in the Pacific Northwest in July.
When? Where, specifically?
Well, we're spending a few days in Seattle, and then on Bainbridge Island, and then at Mount Rainier.
Mount Rainier.
Uh-oh.
Ooh, make sure.
I think it's getting pissed off.
It's not my territory. That's Ravenface. You'll have to deal with him.
Make sure you know that volcano evacuation route.
I'll pay my tribute to Simon when I get there.
You should. That's right. Always 40.
I like the idea that all the unique geeks have their own sectors, kind of like Green Lantern.
I know.
We've got some openings.
Huh.
Don't tell that to Scott.
That's what he said.
Shag's got his sector anyway, so.
Don't touch it again!
He looks dirty.
Shag does?
Yes.
He is kind of dirty. he washes and whatnot.
And whatnot.
And whatnots. Wash those whatnots.
But don't do it in front of the children.
Yes. Because they'll be sacrificed to the giving tree.
Knowing's half the battle.
Yes, indeed. So I watched, much to my, I don't know, loss of 3 hours, Interstellar. Now, who thought that was sort of an uptake of A Wrinkle in Time? Yes?
I still have not seen it.
Oh, damn.
I'm with you, Rox. I was expecting more, and I felt it sort of under-delivered.
Yeah, I knew exactly it was the dad, and I'm like, oh, look, it's Murph. Oh, let's call her Megan or Meg from Wrinkle in Time. Oh, look, they said Tesseract. Oh, hey, I was right. That was pretty. It was A Wrinkle in Time for boys, I think.
So how does the Marvel Cinematic Universe tie into Wrinkle in Time, since it also has a Tesseract?
My house has a Tesseract, so, you know.
Well, I know that, but I'm just saying in regards to movies.
Oh, my God, you got Peeps? What was that, Peeps beer or something, John?
What?
I don't – Peeps. Oh, it looked like he was holding up a beer can.
Okay, are we talking beer made out of Peeps as in Easter Peeps?
Oh, my God, wouldn't that be awesome?
Or is this some sort of branding like Samuel Peeps, the diary guy? Who buried his cheese?
So this is a new formulated version of Sam Adams, Sam Peeps?
Sam Peeps, Peeps. Sam Peeps.
Yeah. I don't know.
So, yeah, it under-delivered.
Yes.
That movie.
So, well, here's a question. Go ahead. No, go, Rox. I thought you were done.
No. Because before I watched Interstellar, I sort of watched – it was like a Nolan week for me. So I rewatched – actually, I didn't see Insomnia. If anything, good. Nolan is great with atmosphere and the way things should look. And that was fine. I mean, it was a remake of a Swedish film. Yes, I believe.
Yes, unfortunately.
But then I rewatched The Prestige, and to me, I think that's his, other than Inception, that's my favorite. That is my favorite.
I enjoyed the hell out of The Prestige.
Because even now, even though you know the stuff, it still is amazing of keeping people guessing, especially at how magic, as Ricky Jay calls them, effects are done. They're not called magic tricks. They're called effects. And I was really, really still impressed with that film. And, okay, other than Insomnia, is there a film that Michael Caine is not in of his? Yeah? No? Anybody?
I guess that's a no.
Anybody?
No.
Okay.
And Michael Caine wasn't in Insomnia, probably because he read the script.
Yeah. I don't know how to play an Alaskan.
No, it wasn't even that. It's like, again, you don't want somebody in the audience to come up with a solution to the premise behind your entire film in 5 minutes. Al Pacino's, I can't sleep. Oh, this light, I can't sleep.
I know, but we did.
Drink some fucking NyQuil, Al.
I know, but you know what? I did that with Interstellar.
You drank NyQuil? Okay, but yeah, Rox, to be fair.
And I watched it twice, you know.
Rox, to be fair, now the difference there is that whereas any high schooler can tell you about the fun of NyQuil, you have a degree in paleontological astrophysics. So, you know, you do have a bit of a knowledge edge on most of us.
All right, yes.
But it's so concentrated on the Zeppelin effect.
I know, sir. She's like, I've piloted a balloon into space. Fuck you.
Oh my God! I have to meet with another banker tomorrow. I'll use that. I'll never get the loan.
Need coffee? Ensuring you don't get any fucking money since 1998.
Yeah. One movie I saw was Ex Machina.
Ex Machina, yes, and you like it? I keep meaning to go see it.
It's very interesting. It's not sci-fi. It's an old-fashioned, not whodunit. What's the word I want?
Psychological thriller?
A bringing up baby sort of farcical, quick-witted.
No. More psychological thriller.
Guess who's coming to dinner?
Well, no, I don't think Ava eats, so it doesn't work like that.
Sword and Sandals epic? Is that – no?
Gladiators. It is really impressive that these three or four people – and it's only them, and it's a very minimal environment, are just all playing each other. They all have agendas, so it's very interesting to see who's going to come out on top. So I think it's interesting that it is they all have their own agendas on how they're dealing with, I don't want to give too much weight, but they all have their agendas of how to deal with this situation. And it's like, it's almost like a
meeting with a lot of agendas.
No, no, no. Oh. It's almost like
waiting for
the agenda.
No. It's almost like fucking people.
Yeah, but no, it is very good. It's a very intellectual film, but it's not so intellectual that you'll be like, what? No, it's very good. It's artificial intelligence, Charlie Brown.
But to help Scott out, he is correct. It is very, very good. I still argue the best movie of this year.
I'm going to wait before I say something like that. I mean, it's very good.
You wait till the end of the year, but I just mean so far.
Well, that's true.
Aaron never changes his mind. It's down in ink.
Yeah.
They have ink in Ireland?
I tattooed it on my arm.
Let's see it.
Come on. Very dark.
Daredevil. Oh, it's very dark.
It's dark. So yeah, sorry.
Okay. I'll let it pass this time.
So,
you were talking about my tattoo. Never mind.
Yeah.
So, Serv, here's a question.
Yep.
Why are you a communist?
Well, the reasons are many and varied, but why are you specifically asking in this form?
I know you weren't the one called an un-American. I was, not Serv.
But, Rox, that's because you actually have no country or national allegiance, and there are many, many passports in your house with many, many names on them. Sorry.
Gosh, I let you into my house once.
I'm going to edit that part out. It'll be fine.
Is this place on international waters?
You don't know that.
we're like the craziest fucked up pirate radio ever. So, no, sir, I saw an email where you didn't enjoy Daredevil.
I have finished the miniseries on Netflix, and I felt it was very...
I think it's a miniseries, but...
Wow.
The biggest problem I had with it was the Kingpin character. I know that it was sort of a Kingpin's origin, so to say.
Right.
And how he became this ultra powerful gangster and, you know, gang leader, whatever. Yeah. But that, the fact that he was basically capitulating to all his partners throughout the entire process, it wasn't the Kingpin. That's not the way the Kingpin would do business.
Well, to be fair, he was capitulating. Well, I don't want to spoil anything in case. Folks, has everyone on here seen it? Has anyone?
Yes.
I saw the first couple episodes.
I think I'm on episode 12.
Okay. Yeah, I finished it.
I think there are reasons he capitulates to at least two of them.
Oh yeah. So
he doesn't capitulate to one of them, and he capitulates.
Oh, please, you know, stop. So
I don't know.
There's so much capitulation going on. It's like all of capitulation in here.
It's weird.
Scott,
if you capitulate much more, you're all going to go blind.
Ooh.
That's a lie.
I'm sorry. I just capitulated all over the floor. Let me get an apple.
Ew. You animal. Yes.
Violence that the show had, I think, was very reasonable based on the fact that, you know, it's Daredevil. He doesn't have superpowers. Well, at least this iteration didn't really have superpowers. He could sort of see, but the world was on fire, which I kind of didn't like. I actually preferred the way that they had, you know, showed his sonar vision or whatever in the movie. I preferred, you know, the way that they covered it in the movie rather than the way they covered it in the
mini. You know what I don't like? Your face.
Yeah, well,
this is my reaction.
Because you're not gay.
Right.
Well, there was one thing that I really liked in the movie that didn't make it. One thing, and that was basically the idea that that Murdoch sleeps in a basically an isolation chamber so that he can actually sleep. Right. Yeah. I actually loved that idea. But that was it. Other than that, I wanted to light on fire.
That I originally liked that idea, but with thought, it didn't hold up because the whole idea that he's supposed to be in control of his powers and be able to hear specific things in a room full of noise and be able to like hear kind of, you know, from down the street someone calling for help. So the idea that he wouldn't be able to switch it off and go to sleep and suddenly be overwhelmed by noises and go to sleep seemed weird.
No, I don't buy that either because he has to consciously focus to hear these conversations in a crowded room, in a subway, you know, whatever. He has to focus to hear someone in particular. He can't focus while he's asleep. His mind is on its own. It's doing its own thing. It's dreaming. It's, you know.
Yeah,
like, I agree. I think that it's a necessary piece to have this isolation chamber or booth or whatever.
I just thought if you consider people with like tinnitus who have a constant noise in their ears.
I do. It's awful. And it's morning till night till you go to bed. Yes. Yes.
So you can sleep.
Yeah. I've had it for so long since I was a kid. So the older
almost like
you get,
you were 8 years old in an accident.
Well, I was going to say
kind of, yeah.
She doesn't have superhuman tinnitus.
No, I don't. So, but I mean, I've gotten so used to it, I could ignore it. Some people get it later, and Shatner got it.
But I guess that's my argument for Daredevil is that he would be so used to the noise after so many years that he could ignore it and go to sleep.
Well, let's face it. Daredevil is no Shatner.
They did show him
clearly.
Right.
They did show him early in his life where he was having a hard time dealing with it. So. Where he was just trying to plug his ears all the
time. Yeah, they had some scenes like that.
Yeah. And I can say this because he was in the trailer, obviously, even for folks who haven't seen it. But Stick entertained the shit out of me.
Yeah.
I loved Scott Glenn as Stick.
Yeah, I had no problem with Stick. I think I had a little bit of a problem with Foggy having such a big part. Foggy's always sort of been the fool of Murdoch and Nelson and, you know, disheveled and unable to kind of keep his, you know, cases straight and know what the hell's going on. And in this one, he's great and he's on target and he's sort of a little bit of a screw up, but not really. I mean,
but if he's meant to be a practicing lawyer, though. Should he not have his game together a little bit?
You know what? I've met plenty of practicing lawyers that are idiots. I don't know how they passed the bar. I don't know how they got through law school. They're idiots. But anyone can do anything, I guess, if you put your mind to it. But
Okay. You're confusing real lawyers with TV lawyers.
No, he's not.
TV lawyers most of the time know what they're doing and look sharply dressed. So you're confusing the two.
Yeah, the source material has the character as a, you know, an unkempt, unfocused, basically unaware fool.
Yeah,
Murdoch Nelson or Nelson Murdoch law firm.
Dick,
I didn't like it either because if you're going to be a high end lawyer, even for a DA or a defender, you have to dress sharp. You do. I don't know why they always fall into that, you know, the sidekick being schlumpy.
I didn't think he was that schlumpy. And to be fair, this is the MCU where it's not necessarily like the comic.
It's true.
Especially towards the end of the series, shall we say, where I went, oh, shit.
Well, Widge.
Hi, John.
All of this. Hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
Nice to see you. All of this is pointless because this is what Serv was saying earlier. So
I can't wait for Bring It On 6.
So everything he says is just bullshit.
As opposed to you, who has hung an effigy of a Native American in his house,
in the attic.
John, I think I was saying I am ready for Pitch Perfect 2, not Bring It On 6. There's a difference. Let's please give credit where credit is due.
Panties.
Okay, so Daredevil, I was meh. I'm definitely going to continue to watch when Iron Fist, Power Man, Jessica Jones come out. I definitely want to see those. I haven't seen Age of Ultron yet. Hopefully, I'll catch that this week.
Do you watch S.H.I.E.L.D., sir?
I do.
How do you rate Daredevil to S.H.I.E.L.D., if you know what I mean, if it's better or worse sort of thing?
I would say they're about equal. My opinion of S.H.I.E.L.D. has gone down in the last season. I'm getting really tired of what they're selling on S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm.
Wow.
What are they selling on S.H.I.E.L.D.? Deodorant?
Soap.
Yep, mostly. S.H.I.E.L.D. soap, S.H.I.E.L.D. coffee cups,
I can connect with that because I felt like this season with the whole Sky having powers thing, I feel like they've teased it out way too slowly. Like they've really dragged that storyline out longer than it should have been done. I don't know.
Well, we've got to find a way to invent mutants without calling them mutants.
They're enhanced.
Right, exactly. Altered humans.
Which is what you think of those bad sci-fi movies where you have like a screen and you go enhance.
So I think of all the original products Marvel has produced, this is the one that I've been least impressed with.
Hmm.
Interesting. I would say I would take a Daredevil style series over an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. style series every day of the week.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is that they are two completely different shows. I mean, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is more...
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. friendly. Is on ABC. Daredevil's on Netflix. Friendly, yeah. You can have Daredevil.
Oh, yeah. No, but...
Really get the shit beat out of him and...
Widge, did you see that... You and I talked about it briefly last week, but did you see that they actually are looking at doing a Punisher
series? I can't hear you, John.
Jesus, always worrying when he's got the worst fucking tech.
John, try your outside voice.
It's the spirit of the Seminole. It's fucking.
So can you hear me now?
Because he hung him in the attic.
Look, it's a bit better now, I guess. It's swinging.
This is the worst Manitou remake.
Hello, hello.
Oh, there you
go. Look, Scott, it's swinging.
So
it's Insidious 4.
Did you see that they actually are making, or at least looking at making, a Punisher series now for Netflix?
Yes. Really?
Yep.
Yeah, well, like I said...
He's got white boots. He's got to have the white boots.
Punisher deserves to be handled in a way that make people enjoy it who haven't read the comics.
And
throw him against Daredevil and throw him against Iron Fist and Power Man a little bit, throw back to some of those old comics.
And throw him against Kingpin.
I think it's a fantastic idea.
Can I just say that how sad I am that Ray Stevenson is stuck being Volstagg when he was the best Punisher we've had? It's just the movie was shit around him.
Was that Warzone?
Warzone. Yeah, he was fantastic.
I didn't see that one because I just couldn't commit to another one. So should I? Is it worth it?
It's worth watching for him, but he is it. That is all that's right with that.
That's not enough
to make me watch.
I know, but I'm just saying, just know, just know that he was fucking talking. Great.
Widge.
What?
Well, yes, John.
But what about Dolph Lundgren?
Fuck you.
Dolph Lundgren's, see, for me, Dolph
I hope the Seminole spirit gets you.
Okay, okay, moratorium on Indian ghost jokes for the next 10 minutes. we're going to wear it out. But basically,
she said,
you're going to worry it to death.
The Manitou 2.
I did not hear him promise.
The Manitou 2? The Manitou 2?
Series? Unless he's standing on the street looking at Daredevil asking him, do you bleed?
Oh, God!
Oh, Jesus.
I wanted to punch a polar bear, though. Batman versus Superman just...
Why don't they just have villain shows? I want to see a Kraven show. That guy was batshit crazy. Well,
DC's trying with Suicide Squad.
Have
you seen the picture of that? Ugh.
When did Harley Quinn become like the side chick for the, what are they, the baseball theories from the Warriors?
When video gamers got a hold of her.
I mean, I know in a movie you can't do like the full cat suit, you know, the thing like from the classic animated series.
Why not?
Scott. You're all.
I mean, would that work in a movie?
Yes. Now, what kind of movie? Let's not say, but it would work in a movie.
Vivid.
I would say at this point there is nothing in a comic book that you can not any longer say cannot work in a blank. I think we're past the point where we live in this imaginary world where you can read something and understand it, but see something and lose your mind.
It's Harley skin.
that's creepy. But no, I mean, I'm looking at Suicide Squad and I'm like, I'm just. That's another one that I'm about. I'm just.
Oh, quite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said,
I mean, that's the thing. I feel bad about prejudging it, but it's not doing anything. It's not really tickling anything that I find enjoyable.
Wow.
Not ladies.
Suicide Squad?
Yeah.
And okay. While we're talking about DC, I want to bring up the most recent release on DVD of an animated film.
Now, the animated DC film.
Which was Throne of Atlantis. I think I saw it on Netflix. I picked it up because it's DC animation, a movie DC animation. I'm like, hell yeah. They're always great. I'm on it. And this one, Jen and I both were like, this one's not very good.
Oh.
Well, let's be fair. It is Aquaman.
Well,
you know what? Actually,
I'm starting to shit the bed on animation. I don't know what they got left in the tank.
Well, you know what? I was wondering if Sandman would equate to more animated than a live action.
I think it's such a small niche.
Well, I know, but it's like, what else are they going for? It's like,
well,
cash.
Going
for cash.
I know, but go and see
Sandman.
Money.
They could bring back
the anthology thing, honestly, yeah. and do House of Secret House Mysteries. They can do that. They can bring back that whole Tales from the Crypt type thing. And DC's got some great storylines from way back. Yeah, I've been rereading mine.
The I would say, like maybe 10 years ago. Sandman would have been niche, but Neil Gaiman is such a hot commodity now.
My God, yeah.
That I think.
I don't think that translates to real world stuff, though.
I agree.
Think he's a hot commodity with the average Joe.
I'm sorry, Aaron. You go ahead.
No, you're right. Go.
I was just gonna say the people who have Neil Gaiman books, people who you know are familiar with Neil Gaiman books, probably have no idea that he wrote. In the comic genre.
Right, and that's what marketing's for.
Well,
and
while I think that DC's big enough that they could pull that off, I don't have the thoughts that they have their shit together enough to actually pull it off.
Oh, no, I agree about that part. But I will say that, I mean, you know, Neil has been on...
If marketing ruled the world, Joe Schlob on Mars, that movie would have fucking made some money.
Oh, yeah, the John whatever from Mars.
Oh, John Carter. No, there's no way to save that. But basically, what was I saying? Oh, I mean, he is a New York Times bestselling author multiple times over. So somebody's buying those books.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, what are the actual units that take you to be a New York Times bestselling author? Because I was in the bookstore earlier today, and I swear there's at least about 1,000 books that they walked by that were all New York Times bestselling books.
It's weird. It's
Now can they? Are they saying that if they get on the list at like the top 10 at all?
No, I thought I heard that it's not really that hard to be on that list. Isn't that true, Widge? Did you ever hear anything?
Really poking the bear. Widge, you haven't been on that list, but it's really easy, right?
Thank you. Yeah, it's really easy. I don't know why you've been sitting on your ever widening ass.
No. They juggle the numbers. It's almost like Dianetics being a for years being a on the New York Times bestseller list because
well, you see, it's like how you can say you had a number one selling record, but you were like the number one selling country music record in the state of Alabama.
Adult contemporary music record during the week of July 3rd through July 7th.
It's right. Just how you phrase it.
And yes, and all you have to do is ask Jimmy Sturr about that because he was the most Grammy-winning polka musician. They finally got rid of the polka section because it's like, no, we don't want to give him any more.
Dana Snyder, I'm sure, has all his records.
Oh, yeah. I have a few.
Did they ever make an animated movie of the Golden Age?
Of Jimmy Sturr's life? No.
No, but I want to see an animated movie of the Golden Girls.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Adult, rated R, maybe NC-17?
No! I don't know.
But you guys know that, Elseworlds, right?
No. Not offhand, describe it.
Basically, what happens if you've got a really, really strong ultimate superhero that joins, like, the World War II JSA All-Star Squadron type of things, but he's not really what you think he is. In fact, he's much worse.
What, he's a dick or something?
Two words.
We're all dicks.
Two words. Ultra-humanite.
Ah, he's a Nazi. I hate those guys.
Yeah. Oh! So, Rox, you would appreciate this. Speaking of Nazis.
I hope so, because I don't understand what the hell you were just talking about.
That's okay. Serv knows. Serv's with me.
All right.
But, Rox, you'll appreciate this. There is, on the No Such Thing as a Fish podcast, the QI Elves podcast, mm-hmm. They were talking about how on QI they are constantly looking for mildly humorous ways in which people have met their demise.
Yes.
And one of the guys on the podcast said, oh, well, I could have qualified for that. I almost qualified for that. And they're like, what happened? He said, well, in my apartment building, we had to get evacuated. And when we got out of the building, we were like, what's going on? And the guys were like, the cops were like, oh, well, someone found an unexploded bomb from World War II in the basement of your building.
Wow.
And he thought about it and he went, if that had gone off, somebody would have had to have called my parents, and the conversation would have gone like, well, I'm sorry, your son was killed in an explosion. Oh, my God, well, who was responsible? We believe the Nazis.
The Germans.
He was like, I could have been a casualty of World War II.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah.
I think technically he would be. He would go against the numbers.
Wow.
So, and then imagine his parents can all go those, to – whoever has, like the final tally and all the stuff you had to update if he died.
And the thing is his parents can go to the German Angela Merkel and ask for reparations for their son.
Wow.
Dear Angela Merkel, our son has died. Wow. Don't they still find those UXBs?
Oh, yeah.
Just so you know, kids, UXB. Look on there was a Masterpiece Theater episode thing about that.
Well, they also find them in Germany. They still find World War I ordnance in France.
That's easy for you to say.
Yeah, World War
I. Oh, yeah? Well, they find Civil War ordnance here in the United States in some places. And bayonets too, and also
they also find Civil War opinions in some states.
Did you say they find Civil War opinions?
Yeah.
Yes. Here's my opinion.
Yeah, and in some parts of the Deep South.
John.
God, you... Well, I had to call my parents to say that I'm rabid ignorance.
Wow. Oh, wow. So, okay, there's. I saw the trailer for Tomorrowland, so does that mean Frontier World? I bet they'll do a Frontierland and it'll be steampunk.
Well, here's the deal, Rox. When they first announced Tomorrowland, I was like, oh, fuck. But then they got Brad Bird to do it.
I know.
I'm totally fucking in.
Yeah.
Did you see the preview?
All I could think is like, oh my God, Frontierland. They'll do a remake of Swiss Family Robinson, I'll believe, and Frontierland. And Frontierland will probably be all steampunk. Which
Fantasyland? That's a different movie altogether.
Yes. So,
Aaron.
But yeah, I saw the trailer for Tomorrowland. I liked it. It was fun.
Ladies.
I was actually surprised there was nothing Star Wars in front of Age of Ultron when I saw it. So,
Oh, okay. So, do we talk about the elephant in the room, even though Surge has not seen it?
Well, Surge,
give me 15 more over there. Minutes. Give me 15 more minutes, and then I got to split for dinner. But what about the director from Rogue One leaving?
Oh, under weird, questionable things?
Yeah, I heard it was part of
the Disney saying they fired them.
No, I think he was. I think he was fired.
I think he was on the meth because he left some dogs in a house and he left
$100,000 of
damage. Whoa, wait a minute. When we had Cora, we would leave her in the house. We weren't on meth.
Did she cause
$100,000
of damage?
These dogs did like $100,000 worth of damage.
Oh, no, not that. No. At most, she gnawed on some shoes, and they weren't that expensive in way of shoes.
Okay.
But remembering Cora, she was big enough. I would think she could do a lot of damage.
She could, yeah.
She was scary looking, but God, she was such a nice dog.
She was a good napping dog.
Yes, and I think she was smart enough to go, you know, I could fucking destroy this entire house if I wanted to, but this is where they keep my food, so fuck that.
And it beats the shit about sitting out in the rain, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God, yeah. You watch that too. Yeah, it's sad. It's a sad thing.
So, have you heard anything, Widge, about, you know, are they going to – who do they have lined up to replace him? Anyone?
Now is this – now, you were saying Rogue One. Are we talking Gareth Edwards?
Turk? What?
Okay, no, that's – hang on. Yeah, that's right.
No, he's doing something – I thought he was doing episode 8.
Well, hang on, Rob posted it to Facebook. I'll find it.
Or we can ask Rob.
Did Rob go?
Who's the director of Rogue One who just got fired / left?
Or we could just look on Google.
Oh. Yeah, I don't remember his name.
I've got hang on.
The rest of us then.
I'm scrolling. Hang on. I'll be right there.
Almost there. Stay on target.
Josh Trank.
His name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So he's also the guy who did Fantastic Four?
Yeah, he's doing correct. Fantastic Four right now, yeah.
I saw the trailer for that. I'm shuddering.
So maybe losing him
that
is
movie looks
happen.
Like it was made by a guy on meth.
Oh, this is the Chronicle guy, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, great idea. Take somebody who made like an ultra low budget movie and then stick them on Fantastic Four. Great idea.
Well,
yeah, actually, it is.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, historically, I mean, that's where we got, sort of Christopher Nolan.
Brian Singer.
Yeah, but at least he had a few movies under his belt before he got up to the big leagues. I mean,
directing
too quick.
Directing Robin Williams and Al Pacino for your second film is really That's the big leagues.
No. I'm talking more about logistics, not just at. I mean, as a director, you have to handle all the effects. You have to handle all the.
But well, like, you don't really.
No, I mean, like unless you're Guillermo del Toro, no.
You have effects guys you can't handle because
I heard that the producers had to step in and finish it because he was totally out of it.
No, that's a separate issue. If you're out of your mind, you're out of your mind. You're doing nothing. But I don't think that will affect the effects and like whether like how good you are at directing doesn't really affect the special effects. Like I don't know. I think people kind of confuse sometimes the role of the director in movies. I think it's a lot more limited than people tend to believe.
Again, unless you're Guillermo del Toro and you don't sleep and you basically have a hand in fucking everything. That man's a maniac.
Or like Robert Rodriguez, who I believe just does pretty much everything on his films.
Yeah.
But that's really rare.
Yeah, it'd be like this. I imagine Robert Rodriguez is... Oh, hang on a second. Let me put you on hold. I need to go score my movie real quick. All right, I'm back.
He's his own gaffer.
he's his own gaff. He's best boy, Robert Rodriguez.
What did you say?
Catering,
what did you call him?
Robert Rodriguez. Wait,
I finally saw his Planet Terror movie.
See, Foley. That's right, John. You're absolutely right. He does the Foley, too.
Wow.
The Axel Foley?
He does. He does. Dun, 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 dun. So, yeah, in Beverly Hills Cop, the new one, it's going to be Axel D+. He's going to do better. So, but, yeah, I really want to like Fantastic Four, but...
I don't.
You won't.
No, I want to like a Fantastic Four movie. Let's put it that way.
No.
But... No. But we've already had you don't want to like any movie by the Fantastic Four at all?
No, it's just hard to do. I mean,
no, it is hard to. Well, it's not that hard to do because going back to Brad Bird, he did it. It was called The Incredibles.
Well, yeah.
Yes.
So, and again, like Tomorrowland, I go, oh, I couldn't give a shit about this. Oh, wait a minute. Brad Bird, that's the guy who, with his first live-action film, saved the Mission Impossible franchise and actually gave us the first really good movie in that entire thing. Okay.
People who've seen Tomorrowland are raving about it, so.
Looks good.
It does look good. Now, Rox, you've seen the trailer where all the booby traps are happening in the house, right?
My God, yeah.
She built them.
Yeah, I was going to say, they filmed that at your place, right?
Yes.
They can't because then they can't say no one was harmed in the filming of this movie.
No. Well,
I said harmed.
We
not
rebuilt
me.
Hey, I heard that there's an Incredibles 2 now in production.
Yes.
Yes.
That's good stuff. Is it going to be Pixar or is it going to be Disney?
I don't know. But I would like them to do it properly, but if it's Pixar, I mean, I just don't have any real hope for it. But
Cars really fucked you up, didn't it?
It did.
I was gonna say at this point I think I'd rather have Disney.
Yeah, I know, because the Disney animated films have been better.
Lately.
Yes, lately.
But again, the thing is, though, is
for me lately.
It's like they took all their good staff and moved them over to Disney, and then left all the folks that were playing foosball back over at Pixar.
Yeah.
Mate, well, you know they have a monkey at Pixar. Maybe the monkey's running it.
Wow.
That's racist.
No, that's speciesist. There's a difference.
So Jiminy Cricket's running it now.
When you wish upon a star.
I'm afraid.
It's good.
Yeah, no, I spend most of my day that way.
Game of Thrones?
Well, I'm going to bail so you guys can talk about Ultron.
Okay.
Woo!
Bye. Adios, guys. Good talking to you. Talk to you in a couple. Bye.
Hey, John.
Whoa!
How about those lightning?
Yeah, baby! Woo!
What?
Congratulations. It's a hockey thing.
You wouldn't understand.
Oh, Detroit's out.
Detroit's up,
which is great.
And the Habs are halfway out.
That's like Christmas for me and Toffoli whenever the Red Wings are out. So.
Oh, well. No. I had to live with that for 25 years.
So, Ultron or Game of Thrones?
I haven't seen this week's episode.
I haven't either.
Of Ultron?
But we haven't talked about it at all, actually.
There's not been much to say so far.
There really hasn't. You're right. It's like each week it's like catch up.
Is where they were.
Yes, and it's like they haven't been gone that long, so it's like each week it's like the recap episode.
Okay.
This week that kind of changes, but that's okay.
Me,
I stopped at 3.
Okay, so I'm just finishing a Storm of Swords book 1 because it's split into 2 books. So that's like the third book, part 1. And so that's essentially the end of the third season on the TV show.
Right.
And then I'm starting to have, there's a few people who went missing in the TV show. And
yeah.
I'm just wondering, will I see them in the book? Because Blackfish on the TV show just went missing. Like, there was no mention of what happened to him or where he went to. Gendry on the TV show just went missing. There was no mention of where he was.
Which one's Gendry?
He was the bastard-born son of Robert, who was hanging out with Arya for ages.
Oh, that's right.
Melisandre just took him and then he disappeared. So I'm
unless she had sex with him and he died.
But I just feel like he was a character who we followed for a couple of seasons.
What book were you reading, Rox? Dead,
let us know.
What version of the book were you reading?
My own version. I rewrote it. It's like, this is where this should happen.
50 Shades of Game of Thrones?
Yes.
It's not a million miles away from what was going on, though, in fairness.
No, it really wasn't.
But yeah, so I'm starting to get annoyed by characters who I really liked and enjoyed just disappearing on the show, and I'm wondering if the book did the same thing with these characters. You don't have to tell me what happened to them, but did they actually just disappear, or did they legitimately have an end into their arc?
It's one of those things. Is this a show that they almost took on too much? Because it's like, they haven't even did a catch up with the little snow children, the
children
the cripple,
of the
snow. Boy
and
what? What do you mean they're parked?
They're not even appearing this season. They'll be back next season. Basically reached, they put them in the place where everyone else needs to catch up to them.
Oh, so Game of Thrones is now all my children, and the old lady went upstairs, and after 7 years, she'll come back downstairs.
Not completely, but close.
Yes!
And I think, part of it is that on the characters disappearing, some of them you'll see or hear from again in the books.
Okay.
And it becomes a question of, I mean, they've done... I think in the beginning they did a really good job of combining certain characters because it didn't make a lot of sense to, bring in somebody new, have to establish a new character, cast somebody, pay somebody else. So they did a good job of putting characters together in a logical way so it wouldn't be – and you wouldn't have, a cast of 15,000 to have to keep up with.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, I didn't even notice the Blackfish going missing. I guess it's because there's so many goddamn characters.
Well, see, basically what it was is that, like, at the Red Wedding, he wasn't there.
Right.
So we don't see him get killed. And he was such a big character that I feel like if he was killed in the melee, you'd at least show 10 seconds of him getting stabbed.
Well, now, I know in the books, he wasn't there because he like stepped out to take a leak or something. And so they just missed him. So so it's always important, kids, always important. Take a leak. But I don't I didn't even know. Granted, it's been a while. I haven't watched any of season 5 yet. Mm. First of all, we had Daredevil to watch, and we've just been behind on stuff. So
here's the interesting thing. Since we brought this, since we're talking about this, it's like now is the year. And last year it was starting to do this. Is anyone watching really live television?
What's that?
On occasion.
I know. It's
hockey. I'm recording everything on my TV, and then watching it later.
I'm watching hockey.
Yeah, but that doesn't count. That's not real television.
Yeah, that's not even like reality TV.
Yeah, it isn't happening in reality.
I watch wrestling sometimes. That's kind of in the middle.
There's no hockey wife crying and stuff, and you know, cutaways where a hockey player's all made up and stuff, and talks about his past.
Wait a minute. A
couple months or something.
Aaron, I know what we need to do. We need to pitch the ultimate hockey league where it's hockey meets professional wrestling.
Oh, my God, yeah.
The entire thing is choreographed and staged, and you've got heroes and villains and, storylines that play out.
It's really not a million miles away. It's just when they break for their fights, you just get a bit more dramatic about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's easy.
They could do that because there's goons. There are people on hockey teams. Mm. They're known as goons.
Every hockey movie I've ever watched has taught me anything. It's the goons are the best part.
Yes, yes.
They're called enforcers.
Goons.
Enforcers.
Goons.
Enforcers.
Goons.
Enforcers make them sound like they're in the Washington putting crime right on the streets.
I know. It's not bad. No.
That's not possible because the ratio there in hockey is not there.
Okay. And can I just say it would be much cooler if they were called equalizers.
I know. So who is the worst enforcer goon there is now? You two.
I won't say the first thing that came to my head because it's politically incorrect.
The one black guy?
No, I was going to say the Baltimore Police Department.
And by the way, Aaron, there's at least three.
Topical.
Man, there's a lot. Well, there's a lot of them on Detroit. There's a couple on Chicago.
Detroit is nothing but a whole team of enforcers.
Well, the thing is they always had to have goons because they had good skaters.
Oh, wait.
My all-time favorite goon is Steve Durbano, who once played a game after they put a steel plate in his head, and he played like 2 days later.
Yes.
I remember
that guy.
Wait, so Aaron, speaking of Game of Thrones, we definitely for Ultimate Hockey, we need to get the guy who plays the Mountain.
Oh my God!
Which one? Because there was like five of them.
No, the guy.
A lot of Mountain actors.
I can't pronounce his name.
He's a guy. Get this. He broke some thousand-year-old record.
Oh, the lifting record. Yeah.
Yeah. 1,000 years old, this lifting record. He carried something heavy.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was now. It was something ridiculous as well.
He is 6'9". He's 400 pounds.
And that's wide. That's not tall. He's that wide.
Yeah, he's a big fucking dude. And
with the girth ladies.
Let's see. He won. He's won World's Strongest Man 4 times. And let's see. He's just he's won like Iceland's strongest man, Europe's strongest man, world's strongest man.
Look up there's some weird obscure he picked up, I don't know, a giant block of peat moss or something. I don't know what they do, and carried it. But I'll bet anything he gets pissed off when people call him up. Hey, I'm moving. Can you help? What do you think I am? A truck? Yeah.
No, you're a mountain. It says so on the television.
Yeah. You know? He's like Bluto. Brutus.
Holy shit. So, basically, world's strongest Viking.
Wow.
He smashed a 1,000-year-old Icelandic record.
Yes.
At the age of he's 26. Holy
shit. Oh my God, he looks older.
I know. He carried a 650-kilogram log on his back for 5 steps, and that was the record.
Wow.
Now, let me translate that into real measurements.
That's a lot of steps.
That's a lot of steps, yeah. No, that is, holy shit, that is 1,433 pounds.
No, damn.
That's like the picture of him holding it is crazy, too.
Yeah, that's their whole frame, so it's like, okay, I'm going to pick this up, I'm going 5 steps, and then I'm setting this fucker back down.
Wow.
Wow.
No, yeah. I'm not going to help you move this weekend.
But here's the thing. The guy who had the record previously, Orm Storfsen, I'm butchering that, sorry, basically, he carried it 3 steps, and then his back was crushed.
And his spleen came out.
And Bjornsson...
The same log.
Yeah, that would probably, because who's going to move it?
Wow.
Yes, it's the original record is described in the Icelandic saga books.
Oh, like the Valhalla or something.
It's a great
Valhalla.
Holy shit. Wow. But yeah, basically... He carried it 5 steps without damaging his back. Now, to be fair, back then they didn't know to pick up,
It's like, put that down.
No, to bend with your knees. You got to bend your knees.
No.
Otherwise,
They didn't have the health and safety training that we have today.
No, exactly. So.
They didn't have what the version of OSHA.
Or belts. Those
OSHA
belts.
They renamed OSHA for the Game of Thrones TV series, Scott.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Wow.
So, all right. So, has everyone seen Ultron then?
Yes.
Yes.
You guys are only seeing it now. OSHA.
Fuck you.
Fuck you, Aaron. So, all right. So, reactions?
It was good.
It was very good.
It was good.
It was good. I liked the first one better.
I agree.
Yeah.
However, I thought it was interesting. The whole Hawkeye is actually the adult in the group.
So
I thought that was nice. I thought that was nice. I thought that was cute. And I'm the guy with the bow and arrow. You go figure. Yeah.
So rumor has it that there is a 3-hour cut of this movie.
Oh my God! Why?
That Joss Whedon wanted to put out, but they made him cut it down to 220. So,
well, here's the thing: I was reading up on some of this. Supposedly, the dream sequence that Thor had was supposed to have Loki.
Brown chicken, brown cow.
And actually, Loki was supposed to hint at that he is still masquerading as Odin.
Hint.
Spoilers. I think there was even still a tiny hint of that in the movie that we got, but only very tiny.
Well,
James Spader is good.
We missed out. We missed out on Hickleson's Anthony Hopkins impersonation.
Let me ask you.
Hickleson.
he lives in Georgia. The animation of the robot's lips, of Ultron's lips.
Yeah, that was weird.
It was very weird.
Yeah, why did they do that?
Also, they gave him teeth as well, which is also weird.
Yeah, that was the thing, is they didn't even really need to do that at all. They could have just left it and...
Iron Man doesn't... Iron Man's lips don't move.
No. Thank God.
But Black Widow's do... Oh, wait, never mind.
A lot like it had a much more... input, quote unquote, from the studio execs.
There was.
I can't tell.
He just did it. Whedon just did an interview. One of the things they talked about was how he really had to fight to keep the farm sequences in the movie.
The farm? Oh, really? Yeah.
And the thing is, they said, oh, you can keep the farm, but we want the whole thing in the cave to so they can start hinting at
Ragnarok.
Infinity Gauntlet.
Okay. Yeah, that too.
But then they tested it, and the cave stuff sucked. So the executive turned around to Whedon and said, okay, get rid of it. And he's like, what? So I think you're right. There has been a bit more input on stuff and things.
I thought the whole idea of them hiring him was, we will leave you alone.
Yeah, I think that was the first movie. But I think
that was before Disney. Yeah, I think that's before Disney got more involved.
So is this Disney people doing this? I mean, honestly, don't they leave Brad Berg alone for the most part? Yes,
but he's not so much a hero for hire the way Joss is. Like, Brad's part of the company.
Oh. Yeah, but he's been able to get away with a fair amount of stuff that didn't really...
Oh, something else that they mentioned was when he was starting developing the movie, he really wanted Captain Marvel and Spider-Man in this. But at the time, they said, oh, we don't have the rights to them yet. And right after he locked down the movie, Disney said, oh, yeah, if you want them, here they are. And he was like, I just finished everything. So I think there's been some problems. I don't know if problems is the right word. I think, you know,
because
one of the things, and also something else that was interesting, is another thing he had to fight for was having Quicksilver die.
Ah, spoiler!
Good.
Haven't we all?
You know what? Joss has been doing a lot of interviews in the last couple of weeks, and I think he's been a little bit too mouthy. He's sounding pretty fucking bitter.
He needs to shut the fuck up.
Petty things.
Yeah, but I mean, they went so far as to the final scene where they're all together, the new Avengers all together. They actually filmed a scene with Quicksilver in there.
Yeah, well, but like the whole thing about I really wanted to have Spider-Man and Captain Marvel in this movie.
Of course,
well,
he did.
Yeah, I wanted slap my junk on the top of Alison Brie's forehead, but it doesn't mean I'm gonna fucking do it. It doesn't mean I'm gonna have the opportunity to do it. I want a lot of things that we can't have.
Aaron, that's because of the injunction, to be fair.
Well, if that's what you want to refer to my penis, which, fair enough.
But funny enough, he's not gonna be as mouthy on Twitter as much as he used to be.
Yep, he did.
Yeah, so who made him? Did he quit, or was he forced to quit? And
he was scared. He was ran off Twitter, essentially.
What?
Yeah. By who?
By people who had a really big problem with his portrayal of Black Widow.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, there was that whole... Yeah, what was all... Somebody was posting on Facebook about that, of, you know, she shouldn't be able to, you know, come to terms with, you know, not bearing barren children.
There was a lot. They were saying, you're saying they really twisted a lot of things. They said that because she had a traumatic experience about being made barren by the Russian spies, that, oh, you're saying that women who can't have children are monsters.
What?
So that was one thing. Yeah, I know.
Oh.
The other one was when Tony picks up tries to pick up the hammer, and he goes, if I do this, I'm going to reinstate Prima Nocta. Which I thought was a pretty sleazy line, but Tony Stark is a pretty sleazy character. Well, people says, oh, well, Joss Whedon, like, loves rape jokes and this sort of thing. So it was completely, ridiculous. Like, if people not looking at Joss Whedon's body of work and realizing the type of attentions that this man has in general, and just really slamming him for, claiming misogyny and stuff.
Yeah. Oh,
and the thing is, to be fair, there are problems with the Black Widow character, but the way they reacted was so over the top. It was ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
Did anyone, what was the literary line? There was, what book did they mention? Tony Stark mentioned. I was the only one that laughed, and I can't remember what it was. And it was about
I know what you're talking about. Damn it. Now I can't remember. Shit.
I was the only one that laughed. It was so funny.
Oh, I can't remember.
And then I forgot. I don't know what it was. I don't know. It wasn't a Kerouac thing, but it was. Oh my God, the long good. It was a Eugene O'Neill line. It was just like, what?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I was the only one that laughed out loud on that one.
Yeah.
So much for that one, kid.
You know what I read from somebody? I gotta find the thing. But you know what I read about how there another problem I think that may have gotten this even worse was how there's no really good Black Widow merchandise. Is that Disney's thinking? Well, we already have girls, so why should we do this?
Girls. She could be a killer princess. That's why we can't have
girls
murdering
who run the world.
I know. Girls. I know that there are just problems everywhere.
Well,
but, it's
that's
an official line from Disney too. That's like that's not even like a theory that someone has come up with. They officially feel like they don't have to cater.
They released a press release saying, "Screw Black Widow. We have girls."
Well, I mean, the thing is, that's why they took over Marvel, because they didn't have. They had the girls' market pretty much cornered with all the princesses, but they didn't have the boys' market. So that's why they took over Marvel.
That was the official thing they released. That's what they said.
Well, and that
phrased it differently to me.
You know what?
They said screw instead of fuck.
Real plan is, and here's the thing: they're slowly trying to take over because they know they can't buy Spaz House. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
so yeah. I bet they could though. Though Rox, I think they probably could.
Well, no, because
if we're being honest.
Because
I'm an un-American, you know.
Spaz House is a sovereign nation.
Oh, tell Witch about that.
Well, Witch is trying. Well, hang on, Witch is trying to actually say something, Scott. So basically, because Spaz House is a sovereign nation within the borders of the United States, she offers really great tax credits. That's why that bit of Tomorrowland was filmed in Spaz House.
That's right.
That's how she funds her Zeppelin.
Yes.
But so, no, yeah, tell them why you're un-American, Rox.
As I said earlier, I was at the bank, and I got a call from the vice president of the bank, and he was looking at my paperwork.
Was it Mr. Drysdale? Because that would be awesome.
You know, he could have looked like him. His name,
that would be awesome.
Yes, I know, Mr. Drysdale. Anyway, Mr. Drysdale called me up and said, we're having a problem with this paperwork. I'm like, well, why? He goes, there's nothing in your liabilities.
Because I don't exist.
I'm like, well, no. I said, I have no bills. He goes, that's really un-American.
Nice.
Yep. Having no debt is un-American.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yay.
So, John, A British Bank, The Life I Lead by David Tomlinson from Mary Poppins. Go.
Right away, sir.
I was just reading the article about him quitting Twitter, and these people are fucking idiots. I mean, I absolutely love the guy who was saying, they turned Natasha into nothing but a love interest that needed saving. And Mark Ruffalo's response was great. Weird. I thought he turned Banner into a love interest that needed saving.
Yeah, people kept saying, like, you made her needed saving, but I don't remember her being saved.
No.
No, she was, in fact, totally not saved.
Is run with precision.
She saved herself.
She's a princess.
Tradition, discipline, and rules must be the tools. Without them, disorder, chaos, moral disintegration. In short, we have a ghastly mess.
A ghastly mess, Rox.
It is. Oh my gosh. My finances are not that bad.
But no, I absolutely. I really enjoyed that subplot because I thought it made a lot of sense, and it was handled in a really wonderfully tragic, but not over the top tragic kind of way. Especially the "I adore you" push.
Right. Yeah.
I loved that.
Actually, the thing I hate though about this every ending, it's like, oh, we have to break them up. It's like, I'll see you when I see. You know, it's like, you know, Stark goes off on in his fancy car, and it makes it seem like, oh, we're breaking up the team.
But the deal is that they're like all near the end of their contracts anyway, so you might want
to. Oh, are they?
You might want to sort of, you know, prep everybody for.
Yeah, I think not returning. After Civil War, that's it for.
Oh, really?
Except if they sign them up again.
Well, now...
Right?
So it's not it, then.
Well, I think... Because I know Hawkeye and Black Widow and the rumor is Scarlet Witch and Downey, they're all in Civil War.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm saying after Civil War... Isn't he? I mean, that takes care of his current contract.
His current contract, but again, they need to whatever Downey's asking for, they just need to give it to him.
But don't you think? I mean, after a while, it's not about money. Do you think he's just like tired of it?
No, Scott. He's not. And there was an article where he compared. Now, he liked doing indie films. He said doing indie films are so hard. You know, he's like, all you want to do is get to a trailer, and you can't because you get somebody coming up to him with no money on set saying, hey, can you pay for the catering service? And he likes to, you know, he's got a good roster of indie films. Yeah. Fur is great. But he said that he could do good things in a big budget film. He's not going to – he wants to keep this going. He wants to – whereas – what was it? The Judge? I didn't even see that. But
I saw it.
You know, he's like, I could do that. So he could do his sort of pseudo indie type thing on his own terms.
Right. And he strikes me as the kind of – I can do whatever the fuck I want, and I'm having a great time doing this, so being an executive producer sounds great.
Right.
You know? Whereas with Chris Evans, he really wants to direct, I understand. And if I was Disney, I'd be like, well, if you're for each Captain America film you do for us, we'll release one film of yours. What the fuck do you want to do? Do you want any of ours? You can have one of ours.
Remember, they tied him to a 9-movie deal.
Oh, wow.
So we're only about halfway through that.
Really?
Yeah.
How did he do Snowpiercer?
No, he can still do other films.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not like
the old days.
Yeah, you're thinking of the old studio system, Rox, back when you were running a studio.
Yeah.
He just has to work around their schedule.
Yes.
But...
Oh, have you also heard the other big casting for Civil War, speaking of Civil War?
Say Civil War again, I dare you.
Martin Freeman.
Oh, they capitulated and got Martin Freeman in Civil War? Sorry. What is he playing?
They have not said it.
Is he MODOK? Please say he's MODOK.
My money's on Puck.
Well, no. Honestly, you need to get Nick Frost to play Puck because they already shrank him for Snow White and the Huntsman or whatever the fuck it was. So they've already. I know it was awful. Charlize Theron was good, but the rest of it was awful. But yeah. Oh.
Charlize Theron.
I know. In a milk bath, it was nice. But going back real quick to the Judge, it was not that good. He was great and Duvall was great, but that's because they're them.
Right, but see that allows Downey to get that off of his, chest. Yeah. Here you go. Here's your whatever indie film on your terms.
Well, now here's the thing about Ultron specifically. My reaction to the film, I really enjoyed it. Now, I did not enjoy it as much as the first film, but it's a completely different film. I mean, it was Avengers had like one mission, and that mission was to get to the culmination of everything that they had been doing in phase one. And to me, as I've said this before, everything in phase one leads up to the bit in Avengers where they're all standing there and Iron Man says, call it, Cap. And then they're the Avengers. So that bit, I fucking loved it. So that was its entire mission. And sort of pulling together all the threads of phase one so that it was a coherent thing that would make sense for them to be the Avengers. So that it had a very limited scope. Whereas this film, first of all, had none of the baggage of how they become the Avengers. So it could just pick up with them being the Avengers and kicking ass.
Literally.
Literally.
That's the first scene.
I know. I've seen it. And and then it just went from there and just kept hitting things, you know, while at the same time doing little things like mentioning, you know, setting up Ragnarok, mentioning, you know, that the Winter Soldier was still out there, all these little things that were just, that felt, they felt organic to me. It never felt like, oh, by the way, we need to stick this in here, which I think is a testament to Joss's ability to juggle all this shit.
Well, too, I did like the fact that you still get the infighting like you always had in the comics, you know, of, you know, Thor beating up on somebody. You know, that always happens.
I feel that there were too many plots in the movie and with too many characters to introduce. Yeah, it's a detriment then to some of those stories because I feel like they didn't have enough time to be, you know, fleshed out. Like, I feel like Vision is in the movie way too late and for way too short of a time. And I think they were forced that hand because they had to try and introduce the twins and they had to try and introduce Ultron and they had to try and, like, sow the seeds for Civil War and all the different things that I had to try and do.
And Infinity Gauntlet.
Many things. And I think it would have been a better film, because I still think it was a good movie, but I think for it to be a great movie, I think you needed to take at least one of those two things out. I think if you took the twins out and just made it about Ultron and the creation of Vision, I think you might have had a better film for it, or vice versa, just have the twins and them be a thing.
Well, no, I could see that, but I mean, I agree with you that, to me, Avengers, the first film, I watch it all the time because I enjoy the shit out of that movie.
That is literally
an antidepressant for me. If I am feeling bad, it's like, well, what do I want to watch? Fucking Avengers, do it. But this film, I think for me, was just a big, giant ride, you know what I mean? A very complicated and dense ride. But I think what amazes me is that, given the agenda that he was working from, I thought he juggled it quite possibly as good as it could possibly be juggled. You know what I mean? I mean, it was. I agree with you that I wish some of that stuff. I would love to see a 3-hour cut of this film. Fucking count me in. I'll go back and watch that on IMAX 3D. You know, because to me, I liked the Avengers as a film. This, I liked it as a good film with some great character moments, like the Black Widow, Hulk bit. I thought that was really well done. There was a lot of really great stuff happening like that in between episodes of people getting their asses handed to them, which is – I was kind of fine with, because I think the way it opened, it sort of introduced itself to, well, here's what I am, you know? There was no – and here's the other thing I liked, is that it made no bones about what it was. I don't think it tried to be the first film or tried to pass itself off as the first film. I think it basically showed up and said, here's what I am. Here's what I got for you. Are we good, you know? And I was like, okay, sure. Show me what you got. And then I was 15 minutes into it going, fuck yeah.
Here's a question. Why do you think they didn't do an end of credits scene this time?
Because they don't have to anymore.
They don't have
to. The end of credits scenes were set up to make you excited about the next movie.
Yeah. But
they don't have to. That's the way I see it. I mean, yeah. They were little trailers to get you jazzed.
And they can do it for the next patch.
Yeah. Well, I think too, because don't forget, you know, when you consider Joss Whedon coming from TV, and you know, it's like almost having to sell him as well, of how well he can handle such a franchise. That's my take on it. And, well, and again, here's some more comic book films for you.
And I think honestly, he pretty much sold himself with the first film. You know?
Oh gosh, yeah.
So, but no,
where
I.
Are the money stakes?
What's that?
Where are we on the money stakes?
Let's see. I'll look it up real quick.
I think I saw that it had the second biggest opening ever.
The second. Yeah.
They even had the second largest opening ever.
Opening capitulated completely.
Well, that was on its agenda.
Rumor is that the fight of the century.
yeah, that's what they're blaming it on.
Is what kept people away on Saturday night. So.
Or the fact that it wasn't about Seki. It wasn't the second hardest opening. That's probably it.
So basically, it's done. Worldwide, $644 million.
Holy crap. So, Titanic?
Bear in mind, it's been out worldwide 2 weeks before it got here. So, its foreign box office is $439 million. So, the bulk of that is foreign.
Wow.
Now, that's also another interesting thing about this movie that I thought was really interesting, how they really opened it up worldwide, you know, with Johannesburg and Seoul and...
Well, the thing is most films are now catering to that, first off.
Widge Jarvis. What does she sound like?
She just sounded... female. She just didn't really have that much of an accent.
It was
Friday. It wasn't Jarvis. They.
Yeah.
Is that a comics thing?
Apparently it's an obscure comics thing.
But for those guys who don't know, they changed the voice of Friday depending on what region the movie was being shown in. So in Ireland she had an Irish accent. In England she had an English accent.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Chinese.
Pardon?
In China, was she Chinese?
No, she was Jewish.
Never mind.
Shalom, Tony.
Never mind.
Sorry.
So basically, if you go to Box Office Mojo and you... Oh, this is very interesting. If you go to Box Office Mojo and you adjust the ticket prices... for estimated tickets versus actuals, so that we're using that's tickets. Hang on, let me get the 2015.
So have they finally, dumped Gone with the Wind? Is it finally like off the list?
No, probably not. Hang on a second. So basically, if you adjust all the ticket sales to 2015 numbers, Avengers is the number one opening weekend with $207 million. Whereas Age of Ultron came in just behind it at $191 million, then the rest of the top 10 is Dark Knight, Spider-Man 3, Harry Potter 8, Iron Man 3, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Piece of Shit film, Dark Knight Rises, Spider-Man, and then The Hunger Games. So basically, of those, three of them were not comic book films. And of those, they are all pretty much franchise films, two of which are based on books.
Right.
So now if we go to...
Gone with the Wind was based on a book.
Yeah, but I'm not sure. Hang on a second. Gone with the Wind.
Very true.
But it's not a franchise.
It could have been if she walked at the green and not in between.
And
it's
also,
it's a prequel to Dukes of Hazzard.
Okay, so where is this on here?
You're always spoilers for Gone with the Wind.
The adjusted domestic gross is the top 10 adjusted for ticket price inflation. You have number one, Gone with the Wind, $1.6 billion.
Really? Still
yes.
is? How?
Because,
is
because it's adjusted dollars.
Plus it's had re-releases over the years
yes,
as well.
They
well,
do count
okay.
the re-releases.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, is this count just the counting theatrical or
theatrical?
This is only theatrical.
Okay.
Number two, Star Wars. Number three, The Sound of Music. Number four, E.T. Number five, Titanic. Number six, The Ten Commandments. Number seven, Jaws. Number eight, Dr. Zhivago. Number nine, The Exorcist. And number 10, Snow White.
Oh.
Damn.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, you
it's
going
to be so hard for modern films to get in there because they don't have the length of releases that those older films had.
I know. Marvel's Avengers shows up at number 27.
Wow.
And it, so that's what drives me nuts when they go, it's the number one box office champ of all time. Fuck you, no, it's not. Yeah, it is because your tickets are $15 a piece. Fuck you.
Yeah.
So
screw the kids.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, I've got to go.
Okay.
I have a meeting tomorrow.
That's right. You got to meet with Mr. Drysdale. What was it?
Yeah, Mrs. Drysdale, actually.
Oh.
And then I'm meeting with Tesla. Watch out for Miss Jane, though.
Yeah, I will. Yeah. Yeah, Tesla's actually around 2 o'clock. I got to meet. Yeah. His meeting's 2 p.m. I'll let you know how that goes.
Hilly daddy.
What the fuck is going on?
I don't know. I don't see John at the mic.
No, that's the scariest bitch.
I know. On that note, bye.
Bye.
Hey,
I'm
Rob.
Terrified. Yeah.
You know what sucked?
Panties.
What?
Miracle Whip by Blur.
You didn't like it?
Oh, man, it's so dull.
It's what I expected.
Really, it's really, like, plain music. Like, it's like a really, like, it's almost like a beginner's band's, like, album.
It sounded like, to me, like they were trying to remake Park Life. Kind of, but I don't hate it yet. I've only heard it all the way through once, though, but I can't find, like, an instant sort of... Every Blur album has at least one song that's, like, an instant sort of grab
you. Yeah, this is going to be a hit.
Yeah, and that doesn't.
No, it really doesn't.
So, my jury's still out on it, but I can see why you're not thrilled with it.
Yeah, I just expected at least one kind of big single because they're a band who have some pretty big sounds on some of their hit singles, like, you know, the Universal and stuff like that. And this was just very garagey, like, band stuff. And I don't know, yeah, it was weird. Like, to come, like, to for it to be your big revival, I was expecting something bigger.
Well, they're going to make the money on that record on the tour. They're not going to make the money on the album.
Yeah.
You know, they're. That's also a band, too, that I think that being apart so long and putting them back in the studio doesn't mean they're automatically going to sort of recapture their sound. I think it's going to take a while just because there's so many things to play.
I had a theory that this sounds much more like a Graham Coxon album.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably like, it's like a Graham Coxon record with Damon Albarn on it.
Yeah, Graham Coxon featuring Damon Albarn and the boys.
Yeah, it's... I could see your point on that, though.
Yeah. I was wondering if I was alone, though. Because I know a few Blur fans.
Not yet. I know some...
Excited.
Yeah, I think everyone was really excited until they heard the whole record. I'm probably going to listen to it all tomorrow. I've got a couple things to do, and I'll try to listen to it all the way through. But it didn't... When I had it on... The day I got it, I put on it was all background stuff, and I'm like, okay, it's on. It didn't nothing sort of reached out and
yeah.
I mean, but you know that sound is kind of it might be too late for them because that bandwagon of reunions is kind of like everybody's already done it. Money's already made, and there's so many better new bands that their time's probably come and gone at this point.
Yeah. Well, I suppose a lot of those reunions didn't have a new album to go with it. It was just a new tour.
Yeah. Yeah, but the James record, though, was surprisingly really good, which I didn't expect it to be.
I feel like they weren't apart for very long in comparison, though, because they toured for a long time together still.
And they didn't have the microscope on them.
Yeah, that's true. And I do kind of feel a little bit like I'm sad that Pulp didn't really come back with that new album. Yeah. And you know what else I got that made me sad that it wasn't as great as their first album? Alabama Shakes' album. I don't know if you listen to them at all.
I do. They're definitely a better live band than an album band.
I really loved their first album, and I got the second one, and it was just kind of, it was okay. Maybe I'm just at age where I'm not getting excited about shit anymore.
That's part of it, but it's also...
How old are you?
I am younger than you, Scott.
So you have time.
No.
Hey,
you're old and bitter.
Aaron, you're Irish. Can you do something about Mumford and Sons?
Well, they're English, so I wish.
Are they English? I thought they were Irish.
No, fuck no. Don't ever try and associate them with my country.
Finally, that's someone funny. Someone I've on this podcast has gone too far with Aaron.
No, it's there's been times where people have said, oh, they're this Irish. But they actually, when they played the Grammys, when they played with the Avett Brothers and Dylan.
You want to know why that is? Is because they have a completely fake voice. Like, they're...
Yeah. They don't do it for me.
We're doing this.
Hey, he's got to do something. No, I just, I'm a little tired of them right now.
Yeah, well, like, they're new. They made me laugh because their first album, Love It or Hate It, it had a very distinctive sound. It was very much there was a thing they were going for. And it wasn't English at all. It sounded very American bluegrassy sort of thing.
Yeah.
And the way he sings, it's got that, like, you know, mid-Atlantic, like, weird or thing where it's like, no, you're your heart, but mine. And it was weird. So this new record, they're all wearing leather jackets now. Like, the banjos are gone. They're playing, like, electric guitars. And it's like, do you not even have the convictions to keep up the fake thing that you started with?
Like, that's a label thing to me. That smells of a label thing.
Yeah, they got a makeover.
That's a label saying, you know, this bluegrass thing is over. You know, do something else. That's what that is.
But the weird thing was, the bluegrass thing wasn't even a thing really at the time. Came out with a...
I know.
So weird.
But yeah, I think the Blur album is going to be interesting to see how that goes over, because it's one of those things that people expect and get really excited about, but we'll see. Yeah. I do like, I have been listening to the new Palma Violets a little bit, and that's growing on me. And then the new Vaccines record, and I like this band called Cut a lot right now.
Oh yeah, I'm seeing their name around a lot.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think what else. I like the new Chemical Brothers, actually.
Oh, yeah. I saw Michelle Gondry did a new video for them. I think it was for the song Go.
Yeah.
And first of all, I'm glad Q-Tip is back with the Chemical Brothers doing songs, because that just makes me happy.
Yes.
The video was like... It was like someone went to Michelle Gondry, have you got any idea for a music video? How about these girls walk around with a pole? Okay, that's interesting. And what do they do? Nothing. That's the video. They walk around with a pole. It's like, okay.
All right.
It's so weird. Because, like, he's normally... I'm obsessed with music videos. And I'm obsessed with his work. I think the two... Like, and when he does music videos, it's amazing. But this was like... I could have shot this in college. It was really poor. I was surprised.
Oh, but it's probably supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be all, you know, lo-fi and shit like that.
Oh, he had an idea and he, you know, accomplished it, but it was just his idea was very, compared to what he can do, it was like he kind of just showed up and fired it his way. Yeah, phoned it in.
He phoned it in.
But it's a good song, though.
And I don't know if you're going to get it over there or not. But the Fathom over here is doing a thing with REM where they're showing the two MTV unplugs and then a whole bunch of extra stuff. So I'm betting you'll get that over there. Yeah.
I'm kind of sad nobody took up the unplugged moniker and ran with it, because I still think that was a great show.
Yeah,
so many there's more money in Teen Moms.
You know who needs to do an MTV Unplugged is the Foo Fighters. That would be interesting. Faith No More doing an Unplugged would be interesting.
Does Unplugged still exist?
No, it doesn't. No. We're just trying to think of people that should
I told you, Teen Moms make more money.
Even
is
like
that the name of your autobiography?
Say that again, John?
I was asking if that was the name of his autobiography.
So, should we do recommendations?
It's a tad early.
Oh, yeah, but fuck it. By the way, since I'm going to go soon, can I interject one quick thing?
Sure.
No.
If you haven't, if you don't do anything else in this world, you've never ever listened to any records other than Stand By Me by Mr. Benny King, for the love of God, you're missing something.
Oh, yeah, we're talking about Benny King. Yeah, awesome shit.
And the same for Percy Sledge. But Benny King's catalog of stuff is just incredible. So, just wanted to get that in.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And if there was a guy that deserved a renaissance in a career, it's Benny King. Because when Stand By Me broke, he was literally broke. So that made it even better. And it wasn't his fault. He's one of those first people that sort of like flat out admitted, I got screwed on royalties, but then he beat the system by re-releasing his record. So that's kind of cool.
Wow. Yeah, yeah, I can't believe we lost Benny King and Percy Sledge.
Yes.
That's just fucking awful.
And we're going to lose B.B. King, which is pain to me to no end.
Yeah.
So.
Shit.
Well, it's we're going to lose pretty much, there's going to be very few Motown legends left, because we're kind of reaching that age now.
Yes, but more importantly, anyone who knows anything about the blues is going or gone. And that is, nobody's paying any attention to that, and it's horrible. But yes, most of the
movies. C6 Steve.
Of who?
What did you think of C6 Steve?
I've not heard C6 Steve. No.
He's a blues player, and he will. It's just usually, all his records are usually just him and guitar. He plays a lot of festivals over here. Somehow I think he got really big over here, but not in the States. But if you like blues at all, check him out. Just go on Spotify sometime. He's got loads of records. But he's also interesting because he makes a lot of his own guitars. And he'll make them out of random shit.
Yeah, I think I know who you're talking about. I think I saw it. This is how old I am. Oh, what the heck's that?
Yeah.
I think I saw him on Sunday Morning, which is a CBS show, which is for old people.
Oh, good God, you are old.
Hey, that's a good show. They do some good stuff on there.
Oh, it is. It's awesome.
They had Johnny Lydon on once.
Speaking of Alabama Shakes, they just had Alabama Shakes on there just this past weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Wow. Yeah, going back to Benny King, this is the guy who brought you the Drifters and Save the Last Dance for Me. There goes my baby.
Yes.
This Magic Moment and others. So it's just like, oh, that's some great shit.
Ugh. Yes. And Percy Sledge, you know, if there was ever a record that was filled with pain, it was When a Man Loves a Woman. Almost as much pain as It's a Man's World by James Brown.
You mean by the song by Michael Bolton?
Oh, dear.
Hello?
Play crickets on yourself.
Don't worry, John. I was thinking the same thing. I wanted to say it, but you beat me to it.
Yeah, if you want to hear... If I was going to tell you to go find something else besides When a Man Loves a Woman, if that's all you know Percy Sledge for, the Dark End of the Street.
Yes.
Oh, yes. I love that song.
Shit. I mean,
he was pretty dark, too, at the time, which is really fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, I got to be racist.
Racial.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Oh,
Right. It's funny because I don't think a black person has ever been on this podcast, so we can make these sort of jokes.
You're Irish.
The best part is that basically we make fun of ourselves more than we do anyone else, so it's okay. I do it.
But yeah, it is sad that both not only are gone, but both are sort of underappreciated in the panorama of American music.
Well, I think in general, I think a lot of Motown isn't being revisited anymore. Like, I'm always surprised when people don't know who Otis Redding is.
Well, I hope you kill them.
Yeah.
If you ever go to Detroit too, and you see the Motown studio, it's smaller than Sun Records, the Sun Studio. So you're just amazed that they made all these records in this room. It's like,
it's literally basically a house.
Yeah, it's basically a house. Yeah. You know, the same thing with Fats Domino's house. It's like this really, really tiny house, but he's shoved as much of his own memorabilia in there as he can. And a small studio. I mean, it's fascinating how sort of they did this whole DIY thing in houses. And decades before people thought of it. So, but we'll talk about that in the soundboard at some point, I'm sure.
Well, here's another one that's going to be depressing. I just read that James Gardner has just died.
Which one's he now?
Hold on.
What?
James Gardner.
James from the Rockford
Files. You're saying
Gardner.
Gardner.
No, well, who's? No, James Gardner like died last year. So who?
Yeah, July 2014 is the date on that.
That's okay.
It's being funny with my. Hold on.
It's okay. You know, it's just sad.
I'm not having a good night at all. I'm really not. No,
again,
I didn't know, but I swear you were drunk.
It's
I wish I was. At least I have an excuse.
I wish you were. You know,
It just shows the pain and inequality in the world when people die in the pall of an earthquake and we lose Benny King and we lose Percy Sledge. We get James Taylor emerges unscathed. Are you having a stroke?
If that's what you have to ask him every time.
I will say, Rob, that he has seen fire and he's seen rain, so he's been through it.
You know what? So is Thor, and he's far more interesting.
we're waiting for Thor's album. Is that it?
No, we're waiting for that, you know, James Taylor Thor record to come out. You know, Ballads from Asgard, sung by James Taylor.
What was that Pollen Storms thing where they had, like, James Taylor, if he was stuck down a well?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, my God, that was great.
No, it was Bob Dylan down a well.
You want to do introductions now?
It was James Taylor on fire.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Scott.
I've seen fire and rain, but I could do with a little less fire.
So Scott's probably unaware of this, but Fred McMurray also died.
We should probably let him know John F. Kennedy died.
Too soon, Aaron. Too fucking soon.
I should just not open my mouth. I really should.
I was at a panel at DragonCon once, and someone made a joke about Jesus dying on the cross, and I shared it out too soon. And I think it was my favorite use of that joke ever.
Or spoiler.
Spoilers for Game of Thrones.
Oh, speaking of lines, my favorite line probably from all of Age of Ultron is when Thor tosses Ultron out of the Quinjet. Oh, for God's sake!
That is one thing I played
language
in the movie. Ultron lost his temper when What's-His-Face compared him to Tony Stark, and he totally flipped out about that. I wish they played that up more because he was. He was like an evil version of Tony Stark. I wish they played with that more.
They had that weird thing where they didn't quite explain it properly, again, because the movie was so pushed for time.
Right.
But he was supposed to have a lot of Tony's personality because Tony built him and it was connected to his, like, all his data banks and all that kind of shit. And yeah. So he was a version of Tony Stark. And that could have been really interesting to go into that more, but they just kind of brushed over him.
I mean, that's why I always figured that he didn't kill Black Widow. For Tron wants an audience.
You've been a robo there.
Voltron is getting a hold of Scott.
And what I want, what I really want from the Ant-Man movie. Not,
what do you really, really want?
From the Ant-Man movie.
I'll tell you what he wants, what he really, really wants.
Tell you what he wants, what he really, really wants.
You want it? You want it? You want it?
Don't do it. I know it's tempting, just don't do it.
Oh, now you say don't do it.
Hey, look, if you want to be my lover, you've got to get with my friends. Which I never understood. Really? Do you have to get with my friends? That seems like the last thing you'd want to do if you want to be my lover.
Well, if you want to make it last forever, you have to understand that friendship never ends.
Oh, exactly. Now I get it.
Yeah.
I hope you're all taking, proud of yourselves.
Taking really is too easy.
You're driving me to drink. I will turn
all your
podcast
fault.
Around. I will turn this podcast around.
I actually have that drop here. Hold on, where's that?
What? Nothing. Don't you dare. That was a drop?
Yeah, there's a drop somewhere. Actually, I don't think I've uploaded.
No, I thought that was RoboScott. I thought RoboScott was
which?
Talking. Stop making RoboScott
talk. Have you got any...
Taking is too easy, but that's the way it is.
Quit hitting the button!
Are there in 12 Monkeys yet?
Yes!
So hold on, can we do the intro like that? Like, so here's a story from A to Z. If you want to get with Scott, you got to listen carefully.
No!
You got
Quidge
in the place, he likes it in your face. We got Robin Heavy, he likes it.
Holy shit!
We could use that for the dating thing at FunFest for Scott.
Oh yeah, the blind date thing that we're setting up for Scott that he doesn't seem to really give a shit about.
Yeah.
Even though he's hopelessly desperate.
Wow.
Wow. I would have
would have used more tact.
I would have called him desperately hopeful. That at least sounds better.
Or desperately seeking someone else other than named Susan.
Well, he could be desperately seeking a guy dressed as Susan.
Why is it always cock with you?
I don't know.
Well, I hear...
Is he a desperate housewife?
Oh, no, this is too soon. I hear Bruce Jenner's available.
Oh! Wow!
No. That no.
Yeah, I...
It doesn't work like that.
Well,
it doesn't work like that.
And so, let's change the subject before we go into how it works.
So Bruce Jenner came up to you and said, hey, if you want to be my lover, you got to go with my friends. You'd be like, no, and just walk away.
That would be the shortest. That would be the shortest and most awesome music video ever.
It's not because he's transitioning. It's because I saw him in Don't Stop the Music, and that just killed it.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Why are you laughing, Witch? You gave me that goddamn movie.
Oh, first of all, that's brief. That you just channeled those stuff.
From nowhere, Scott knocks it out of the park.
So, is Bruce Jenner the new Sporty Spice?
You know what? I think Sporty Spice.
I do want to say, though, that that's a horribly courageous thing he's doing. I just want to say that.
No, I agree. I think it's fantastic. I mean, I am all for people doing whatever the hell it is they want to do, however it is they want to do it.
It's the circle of life.
It is. That's what I'm saying. Thanks, Robo Me. Oh, God.
So that's fun.
I just want that so I can have a conversation with myself all day long.
It's better than dancing with yourself.
What? My therapist would be so pissed.
What?
Nothing.
Oh,
and
dear God.
Unless I'm not mistaken, that's a sexual reference?
Kind of, sort of, yeah.
We've been here for 5 hours. You
know,
if you want to do introductions,
you know,
now.
That's what we need. We need to have Din translate Wannabe by Spice Girls into Latin.
That would be good.
How the fuck would you do Zigga Zigga Ah?
I think it translates
out.
I'm on this. Hold on.
Yeah, because I would like to reprise my role of
Zigith,
translator.
Zigith Othith. I think is a.
Because what was the song we did before?
It was some rap song.
Goddamn motherfucking son of a bitch.
That was right.
That have Kim say it in her sweet Kim voice.
Her candy coated Princess of Darkness voice.
Exactly. I'm assuming she's still in a sugar coma after watching the Avengers. So.
Done. Okay. We'll have Spice Girls in Latin soon.
I don't know. Would she still be okay knowing that Hawkeye in the Marvel Cinematic Universe has a wife and 3 kids?
That don't mean a thing. That don't mean a thing.
She'll make a sin world where he doesn't. It's fine.
Yeah.
It just
don't mean a thing if she ain't got that swing.
Here's the thing.
Doop.
Is she more attracted to the Jeremy Renner version of Hawkeye or the comic book version of Hawkeye?
I think the answer, Aaron,
is yes.
Yeah.
She wants it all.
But
she
not
wants to build a desk with all.
Not the Alan Alda.
But Scott, she may want it all, but does she want it now?
Yes, she does.
Yes, actually, she does. I can vouch for that. So, but here's the thing, though. I think in Secret Wars, all the various versions of Hawkeye, including the Alan Alda version, will be in a story.
Oh, that starts tomorrow, folks.
Oh, good.
Oh, that mess?
Yeah.
Ugh.
It's just a pause that refreshes every 15 minutes.
What in the world? I was in that was toughly in a wind tunnel. So, Scott, to answer your question, yes, I'm still watching 12 Monkeys. I am 5 or 6 episodes in.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with talking about 12 Monkeys is you can only talk about maybe the first half of the first episode before you start getting into major spoilers, because everything builds off of everything else, and it's absolutely batshit crazy, which I kind of like.
Okay, so you're still enjoying it?
Yeah, I mean it is a decent, fun flick, and I've told you my theory about what's going on.
Well, I hadn't heard from you since then, so I didn't know what your progress was.
No, I haven't seen anything else beyond that, but I think that there's probably other clues like that being laid because it makes sense. But I will say I really like the Pallid Man. That's Noonan, I think the guy's name is. He was the stew maker in Blacklist.
Yeah.
Perfect casting.
He's creepy.
He's creepy. You know what he is? He's like the Angus Scrim for our generation.
Yeah, I can see that. And I still say Dr. Jones is rocks if she went to physics.
I think so.
Dr. Jones, wake up now, wake up now.
What the hell is that?
Yeah, it's saying some fucking aqua, whatever.
I don't even know how to respond to that.
Introductions?
We can do that. Sure, let's do some introductions. Why not? It's time.
Yeah.
Don't touch it again!
Oh, God. So, okay. We'll do some introductions, and we'll do them starting now.
We've seen you staggering out of the work week, but now it's time to buck up, little camper. The weekend is here. This is a needcoffee.com podcast, and we're going to help you the rest of the way home. Stand by for Weekend Justice.
The Pharaoh's Play!
welcome to another edition of Weekend Justice. It's the Weekend Justice podcast here on needcoffee.com, the number one audio internet train wreck. We are here in the hall of Weekend Justice with the Weekend Justice League, and I will endeavor to introduce them. Going from my right to your left, we have Aaron Fevers with us. Hello, Aaron.
Hey, I'm feeling truly outrageous.
No, no, no. Don't you dare, John. Ah, fuck.
Oh, yeah.
But it's coming through like a... He's playing it through like a shoebox or something.
It's like the Negative Land version.
Keep going. Talk over it.
All right. So, yes, we have... Oh, my God.
I don't know what's happening in the techno cave of Peso, but, like, shit's falling apart over there.
I know, it's really weird. God knows how this is going to sound. So...
It's echoing now.
It is! It's a horrible remix, Rob. Oh my God, where is it even in the song?
It's just a bit where she says she's shooting it, right?
Oh my God. Speaking of much better remixes, we have Rob with us. Hi, Rob.
$2. I want my $2.
For what? What happened?
Nothing. I've just been watching Better Up Dead.
Okay. Sorry. No, that's fine.
I got it, Rob.
Dollar is what he needs. Yeah.
That's what worries me, Scott.
And of course, that's Scott. Hi, Scott.
I need a drink.
Don't we all?
Yes.
And also with us is John Boutel from the Neat Geek. Hi, John.
We've blown our wad early in the show.
It's so very true. Luckily, we have many wads.
Yeah, we do.
Ladies.
Speaking of wads, can we do a Rock Lobster?
I assume. Oh, God, the echo will kill us all.
Here's the thing, Rob. That's a genuine question, though. Can we do a Rock Lobster?
I don't know. But if you want to get with my friends, that would be a good way to do it.
Yeah. If you want to do Rock Lobster, you got to get with my friends.
Sure. I know. It totally works.
Did he play it?
I don't know. That was weird.
Well, in fairness, if you just shout it at some random interval, it'll be just as good as most other weeks.
Yeah, or...
Fuck you! Fuck you! Rock Lobster!
See?
Rock Lobster!
I wish there was a way to have this happen, but I would love to hear Scott re-record Wannabe by the Spice Girls.
Rock Lobster!
But it's... That if you want to be my lover, have be, if you want to be Arthur, you got it with my friend. That would be hilarious.
Don't touch it again.
Industrial strength auto tune. No. No. No.
Why did you have to be the killer of dreams?
Would you like? Yeah.
It's the circle of life.
When they're horrible nightmares, they deserve to be killed.
You'll never expect to see any of it. Just go, yeah, sure. Yes, and it, Scott. Yes, and it.
I deny your improv. It is cast out.
That's new.
Oh, that's actually been around for a while, but it doesn't make an appearance very often. But I'm so happy when it does. It's so sad that Robo Me is funnier than Real Me.
Kind of play myself short. Did you seriously wait that long to do this?
It's an extended version.
And I'm the one who fucks up Rock Lobster. Fuck you.
12 inches.
Here's what I'm thinking. Here's my theory, guys. John's drank so much beer on the podcast over the years that it seeped through his pores into the equipment. And now his equipment is permanently drunk.
Rock lobster!
Rock yeah, sure lobster!
It's like he's got Tourette's now.
I know, it's hard to tell. Okay, you know what it is, Rob?
It's Atlanta on a Saturday night, like coming out of a car.
It's basically when you're parking outside a club and the music's really loud inside. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Wow. Rob would know that sound better than most.
Oh, God.
You know nothing, Rob.
Yeah, I hate the
personal night at the Roxbury.
No.
What?
Now he's knowing. He should be S-butting.
I just want to
bump ahead. One of the Rocks?
I just want to say that he is quoted Night at the Roxbury and Can't Stop the Music in the same podcast. This has probably never happened anywhere before.
And hopefully will never happen again.
So how many times have you seen Can't Stop the Music?
Only once. And that was to put a review on the site.
Oh, God, it's hideous.
Oh, God, also yes. Fun.
I think putting the review on the site is quoted more times than I was only following orders.
Yeah, it's weird to go home to have a gun to somebody's head to make a review.
Well, no.
A review of Can't Stop the Music.
You have to take the shit ones to get the good ones. That's how it works.
Well, Aaron.
Ladies.
Aaron, to be fair, I did not receive my post through an actual democratic election, so it's not completely the same.
How did you receive your post? All right.
Sir's mustache tickles.
What?
John, you're insane.
But this is not news.
No, I meant other John.
You know,
no, I know, but that's not news either.
I think he's been possessed by the spirit of the Seminole that he hung in the attic.
Wow, he'll
wake up tomorrow
good.
And go, Jesus, I still know these people.
I do that with myself every day.
Yeah, I don't know how you're not. I don't know why you wake up with a perpetual headache knowing all of us.
No, it's just me. I mean, my therapist is just pissed with me. He likes all of you.
Oh, well.
Yeah, no amount of electroconvulsive therapy has helped my memory to go away, so.
Well, if you want electroshock therapy, you've got to get with my friends.
You know what? Aaron, I want that on a t-shirt with no explanation whatsoever.
Yes. We should get that and just wear it around Trek and Con.
And even better, do it with those like mid-80s t-shirts where they would just iron on the letters.
Oh,
in
like
the mall.
Choose Life and yeah.
Yeah, just like in the mall. Just do it, get them to do that. Or
the I have a story about that.
One t-shirt like that, the other one with the bad mid-80s airbrushing.
Nice with like a unicorn like.
Oh, I'm on mute.
Yes. Oh my God, with a unicorn. And then, like, a harp or something. That would be great.
Yeah.
A barbarian woman on the back with a sword.
Yes! I'm loving this. This is great.
Hey, how long have I been on mute?
Out there.
If we have any designer listeners, then get in touch because we should do t-shirts.
Do you have any listeners?
Yes, we do.
No.
At least one, two, three, four. At least five. One, two, three, four, five.
Well, James Garner was a listener until last year.
John, you're under the impression that I'm listening to you.
We don't even listen to each other.
What?
Exactly. Who are you people?
A lot of my skills had atrophied.
What the hell is that from?
This whole thing sounds like a Negative Land record, and I'm very frightened.
It does. Rob, we should make...
How do you remember saying that?
That's okay. He doesn't remember hearing it.
Number nine.
Oh, number nine? Here's number nine.
I was with you, Aaron. The Watusi. The Twist. El Dorado.
Number nine.
Jesus Christ.
What the hell was that?
Seriously, I swear to fucking God, he has gotten his equipment drunk. I don't know how he's done it, but he's done it.
I think the soundboard is having, like, a breakdown.
I think it's had a stroke.
Hey, Aaron.
Wait a minute. Hey, it's operating off of battery, and the batteries are low.
What's up, Rob?
It's peaking in this.
I just want to know somebody else was experiencing this. That's all. I wanted to make sure it wasn't uploaded.
Is anyone else hearing this?
Yeah, unfortunately.
The weird thing is, it sounds like my stomach after a hangover.
So every night.
Your stomach
that sounds
plays,
like this.
Your stomach plays porn music?
It just goes.
So,
panties.
Before I go, I just want to say that sounds like Carly Rae Jepsen as a zombie.
Hey, Rob, I
Okay, so we've discovered that John went to Record Store Day in 1949. That's awesome.
We have reached the maddening hour.
We've gone to plan.
This is what you call them.
I'm saying this about this.
No, no, no. This is what.
I think
this
we
is
have reached
what...
peak train wreck.
No, this is.
This is what they would refer to as the.
Well, Rob, basically, that was a record from Franz Lang, the Yodel King.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's 84. He's he's still active.
Did you Google Whack again, Widge?
Yes, I did. I looked up Yodel King, and that was what came up.
You know, this reminds me of two things. This podcast should be called the Maddening Crud, and also it reminds me of the Polka Museum in Chicago, which is also frightening. Things close enough.
Polka. At one point, they have you out of clay. When you're good and ready with polka, I will play.
That's right. There was one horrible week when I went to. I started the week at the Liberace Museum in Vegas and ended the week at the Polka Museum in Chicago. It was hell. And in between, I saw Ministry and KMFDM.
Why is this not a reality TV show? Because I would watch the hell out of this.
Because, Wage, you've already commissioned 5,000 reality TV shows over the years of this podcast. You don't trust your judgment anymore.
God damn it.
You used it all up on those Roxas Bazhouse series.
That's true. Well, you know what? I'm proud of that. I am proud of that. Because the world might not be ready for Spaz House, even though we first released it in 1980. But it's going to catch up. I know that.
Yeah. It's like Steve Urkel. Like Steve Urkel, it'll be funny in 20 years.
I keep saying that, Rob. Just another 20 years. Just another 20 years, and it'll be funny.
That's what Bill Cosby thought.
Whoa.
They're stuck in the skirty kind.
Oh, God. Well, it could have been worse. There could have been an Operation U-Tree reference.
Would you like Flesh of Jesus?
Is he just going through the ones he hasn't used in a long time?
Why am I not drinking? I finished my Surge a long time ago, and I don't know.
I'm done.
Do I what?
Do you need more of that? They sell it like crazy here.
Oh, they apparently have it here, too. I was in Huntsville over the weekend and went and grabbed some giant cans of it. So
I don't want to do that shit.
I know, but I have to.
Man, when I worked at the record store and I was hungover every day, that's the stuff that got us through.
That I used to drink one of those and a Josta back to back, and then I could feel my hair growing.
Have you made ice cubes out of it yet?
No. Holy shit, that's a great idea,
what
Rob.
What you do is you take
in
that
scotch?
And you make ice cubes out of it, and you put that in your vodka tonics, or you put it in your iced tea.
Holy shit, Rob. I would like to award Rob the Nobel Prize for cocktails. Surge ice cube.
You know how to edit that, right?
What? How, what? Hmm? Well... Dear God. Oh, God. Yeah, so no, I'm definitely going to try that now. So thank you for that.
No problem.
I'm like, just now looking. I'm thinking Surge Ice Cubes. What would that not be good in? Oh.
And like a vodka, it's great in a vodka coffee. Cran.
I'm going to go with coffee. And, iced coffee and Surge, no.
Well, no. I was bored one day, and I put it in a Mountain Dew, and that was amazing.
Really?
Yes.
My nipples are hard.
I like that when you get bored, you just start doing chemistry. I like that. It's like a nerd version of Breaking Bad.
No, I don't randomly think of soft drinks to put together. It was just that was a crazy week. So.
Yeah, well, I'm going to have to tell Big Dub about that because he's going to try it and everything, and then he'll come back and tell us the results.
Yes.
The man's not human. It won't affect him at all.
Awesome. You know, you should have Cosette make that and take it to work and hand out to everybody. That'd be over. That'd go over big.
Why are you bringing in a large cooler bag? Well, let me tell you. Wow.
Why is everyone on the show so jumpy?
Man, they're not even walkers at this point.
they're shaking dead.
They've suddenly become 28 days later dead.
I know, right? Yes, I like to point out, Franz Lang, by general consensus, according to Wikipedia, which is always right, is considered to be the best alpine yodeler in the world.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
So he's OY, original yodeler. Which is OY, actually.
OY.
I don't know. I can't stop thinking like this.
So you can't stop the music?
Okay, so where's this original yodeler in the...
What?
Start playing music. When you start playing music from Hitler's bunker, it's time for me to go.
Yeah, he basically downloaded the.
Wasn't that the name of the Paul Newman album?
Fall. What?
Wasn't Music from Hitler's Bunker a Paul Newman album?
Come to, kids. Yodeling.
Geek train wreck.
It's amazing. So, should we mosey into...
There's four of us left.
I know. Well, we've basically killed... We've killed them and eaten the dead, so...
But don't forget about Frenzel. He's still around.
What about Frenzel? That's quality.
Can't get that from any other podcast, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's right. That's absolutely right. You don't...
Thank fuck.
You don't get Franzel... You don't get Franzel and a porn version of Harley Quinn together on another podcast. Oh. Although the Yodeler is going to be a villain in Gotham Season 2.
They had the quilt, so why not?
I thought the Yodeler was a sex position.
Where do you think they got the idea for the villain from?
It involves yelling into a canyon. And a cannon.
No, it involves yelling into your partner, Ricola. Oh, dear God. So, recommendations. Who wants to go first?
Friends of Lang.
Oh, Jesus.
I'll go.
Go, Scott!
Read a very interesting book. It's called Red Notice by Bill Broder. Bill Broder operated one of the biggest
hedge funds in Russia. He basically, when he was in a position as the wall fell about getting into all these Russian and East European countries that were unbelievably undervalued, he picked them up on the cheap and sold them for like tons of money. The problem starts when, you know, he starts going after our corrupt oligarchs, because part of the problem he had was, because one of the reasons these companies were so undervalued is that everybody assumed that they were all corrupt. But what he did was he showed that they were only partly corrupt, so they actually boosted their stock value because they weren't like completely corrupted. They were only like half corrupted, so they could – it was still something of an investment. But what happened was, is he started pissing off oligarchs. Then he pissed off Putin. And in 2005,
what? What has happened?
What just happened?
Sorry, there was there was something very amusing to me about the way Scott pronounced Putin's name.
Putin! You are, you people are 5 years old.
It just makes it sound like it's like this cute little thing. He's Putin on the Ritz! Putin!
Well, in Canada it's pronounced poutine.
And I'll have some chocolate Putin and some strawberry Putin.
I don't know if I want to describe the rest of the book because it's a god. Now, shit.
God, Aaron, it's almost like it's 5 hours later for you or something.
I know, right?
It's like it's 3 a.m.
I no. Okay. God damn it!
Are you scooting with your Putin?
Just pick up the book. It's a good read.
How
are
you
doing?
Just
pick it up. Just pick it up. I can't. I'm done, dog. I can't anymore. I can't.
Guys.
Where's my fucking sound effect?
I finally defeated him.
Where's my fucking sound effect?
Boing.
What the fuck was that?
No, that's a different sound effect.
Bullshit!
Putin.
So that's fun.
God damn it!
Why is that even funny?
I don't know what it is.
I hope the seminal spirit comes into your bed and murders you. What are you shushing before you have headphones?
He
no
waited
to hear me.
He waited so long I forgot it was waiting.
Do it!
I'm not even laughing at Scott. I'm laughing at Aaron laughing at Scott.
I want the sound effect.
Dear God.
Is that so much to ask for? Where's my boing?
Please, Dad, that's the sound for me.
And unless I'm not mistaken, that's a sexual reference?
It's not my boing.
Give the poor guy a boing. John, go ahead and boing Scott.
I hate you all. Why do I do this thing?
You need to. There you go. You need to. Poot.
Oh God, that was anticlimactic.
John, you need to make sure you poot that sound effect in the right place.
I've said that many a time.
Poot.
Yeah, just put in the sound effect.
I'll say it again. Peak train wreck.
Rock lobster.
What fuck? When did Scott yell that in a cathedral? What?
I don't know what's going on anymore, Winch. I'm scared.
I'm always
we
scared.
We are gathered here today to join Rock Lobster with Putin.
Rock Lobster.
Macaroni.
So, Aaron, should I go to John first for recommendations so you can try to collect yourself?
Please do.
Franzel Lang.
Oh God.
I would like to recommend Volksmusik Momenti, featuring such hits as
German, it's a classic.
Der Jolder Express.
Get and your wife. Das Kutsche
Leid. And Mivach is an appetizer. They're all great hits, really, honestly. Buy those through needcoffee.com/yodel.
So Aaron, would you like to put in your recommendation now?
Sure. I'm composed. I'm personally in the middle of writing a thing.
Wait. Writing a thing?
You're going to recommend something that you're writing?
Sure. As research for that thing, I was introduced to GLOW, which stands for the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, which was a 19.
Oh, they were awesome.
It's to this day the only ever all-female wrestling TV show. And it ran for 4 seasons, and it was a huge success. It was like killing in the ratings, but it was taken off air because the guy who was funding it, backing it, his wife found out that he was being a little too close and personal with some of the lady wrestlers.
He was putting them in. He was putting them in figure fours. Is what you're saying?
Yeah, he was making them top out, and. It was.
You put him in position 18, the spread eagle.
It was shut down, but it was never taken up again. By nobody kind of swooped in and took the show over, but which is a terrible shame because I'm a big supporter of female wrestlers.
Athletic supporter?
No, we don't have those over here, funnily enough. But anyway.
Wait! What?
Yeah, like, kids don't wear jock straps for fucking PE. It's the weirdest thing. Like, what are you guys just kicking each other in the fucking nads all, like, for an hour for a class once a week?
If it was anything PE for me, yeah.
Weirdos, the lot of yous. I managed to go the whole way through fucking primary school and high school without needing a fucking jock strap. You're all psychopaths.
Well, we knew that.
This is why you start wars as a country.
All that protected so they could play with it later? So basically with a war, we're just trying to kick an entire country in the balls?
Yeah, essentially. Okay. But yeah, so there's a great documentary that you can even watch on YouTube, which is like, what, ! GLOW, the story of Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, which is a wonderful documentary, and shows how much heart the show had, and it was really silly because like they gave their promos in via rap. So it's like, all their bits were like, you know, hey, like one of the girls' names was Matilda the Hun. Uh-huh. Matilda the Hun.
Yeah,
it's amazing. So it was a great show, but and it had sketches. Like, it wasn't just all wrestling, and they had like comedy sketches mixed in. It's crazy. So yeah, go check that shit out. And Dong.
Don't you dare play that for him.
Well, I wasn't going to, but now.
Yeah, seriously.
How do I do this kind of show? Tootin'. Yeah, so yeah, you need to, Aaron, you need to get with Cosette about Roller Girls, which I think you would appreciate.
Oh, yeah.
Because they have, I just looked up, I don't know if they have the really good one on here, but the their names, let's see, Syphilis Diller, or Syphilis Diller.
Yeah.
Vulva Las Vegas, there you go.
Beautiful. That is actually beautiful.
Doris Day of Reckoning.
Nice.
Shirley Temple of Doom.
Go.
I actually did a review of like a documentary on the first like new Roller Girls team. Exactly.
He was just following orders, folks. He was just following orders.
No, that was actually pretty interesting.
So, and Aaron, also, Sigourney Reaper, that's good.
Oh,
I love this one. I love this one. You know it'll hurt.
Wow, that feels good.
Cosette would know some better ones. There's actually some better ones than that.
They're all glorious, though.
Here you go. Georgia O'Grief.
Oh, jeez. Oh, God.
I love it. So, yeah, you definitely need to get the scoop on that. It sounds like it'll be your new obsession.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so for my recommendations, coming out this weekend next, Mad Max, of course, is hitting Blu-ray because we're all getting ready to go watch the insanity that appears to be Fury Road. Looking forward to that. Also,
Can I double check?
Yeah.
Is Tom Hardy playing Max?
Yes.
Okay, just double check. Thank you.
Yeah. Charlize Theron is also
he's
in
playing
it with
Tom Hardy.
Bionic arm. What?
I said, never mind.
She makes him Tom Hardy, which...
Oh, I see.
Oh, that's
such a fair joke, Aaron.
Yeah.
Anyway. Also...
This will be bossing the devil's advocate. That's all I'm saying.
Well, yes.
Pause that refreshes every 15 minutes. That refreshes every 15 minutes on Weekend Justice.
Also, apparently...
I meant to push this one.
First.
Do it now.
That's what I meant to press.
Also hitting Blu-ray, I think for the first time, is Duel. Spielberg's first film, the TV movie, written by Richard Matheson. What?
Chicken butt?
Scott was just saying the thing that you just said, so
this
it's fine.
This is a remake.
I didn't even know there was a remake.
Mm-hmm.
When was the remake?
Wait, hold on. I think I'm right about this. Hold on.
Yeah, no, it's the original.
Okay.
Or the singer Jewel.
Oh, God. So, references are... I don't see one, but then again, the law of relative development demands that there is one, so you're certainly not wrong.
Smart.
I also love that the Wikipedia page for Duel has, as part of its little reference section down below, there's a section on Steven Spielberg, there's a section on Richard Matheson, and a section on the trucking industry in the United States. Which is the Marvel comic US 1 listed in there too? I have no idea.
We're going to get a convoy.
That's good stuff. So, in addition, where did my piece of paper go? Oh, there it is. No, that's not it. Well, shit, I had something else and I actually wrote it down. That's what I get for thinking. There was something and it was impressive. But ooh. I do also want to, recommend, oh, here it is. Yes, this is important. X, the Man with X-Ray Eyes comes out next week on Blu-ray. Again, I think it's Blu-ray debut from what I can tell. It's fantastic with Ray Milland. I think that's how you say his name. I'm not sure. But you should definitely watch it if you have not. And
I think you pronounce it Roy.
Nice. I'd also like to recommend, and I think Aaron will back me up on this, I'm not quite sure when this streeted, but The Man Without a Face, The Unlikely Rise of Vladimir Putin. It is available on Kindle, hardcover, Audible, and Audible audio CD. So there's a number of Putin biographies out there, but that is the one that has the name at the very end of the title. You can stretch out, making them wait for you to say the word Putin. Guys are fucking maniacs.
Oh, great. I was right. No, I was thinking of The Hitcher, not Duel.
Oh, God. Yeah, no, there was never a Hitcher remake. That, no, that's horrible. It's horrible. Slander.
Good times.
Oh, God. So now that we've done recommendations and somehow crawled through them, I think perhaps it's time before Aaron and John have strokes to
I crawl into a bottle
to
Eugenie? Do I have to rub you the right way?
Which don't
call it.
Don't encourage him. Don't call encourage it. Him, Aaron. So yes, I think I think we should adjourn this Weekend Justice before it gets any stranger. And I think we should, just like every time that we come together to record one of these things, I think we should all sort of stare off into the middle distance and say to each other, Aaron, what should we say? Yeah, there you go.
I was adding dramatic effect.
I have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I expect we will all be killed by radioactive darts sometime over the next 2 weeks.
Where madness sits, do, Putin on the Ritz.
Sir's mustache tickles.
What was that from?
That was,
I think, that was one of the scripted ones I gave for the last big milestone episode.
Yes.
I believe I gave 7 phrases in that, and no, all.
I think it was 10, actually.
Oh, really?
There was a bunch.
Okay.
I think they're all still in use.
As I like to be.
What a whore.
All right. Well.
Well, I've cried, so I feel like that's a good point.
I think lots of people have cried tonight, Aaron.
I think you've cried for a better reason than most, Aaron.
Oh, I hope so.
Hilly day.
Stay safe, senors.
Hello.
That guy looks dirty.
What the hell?
Good night.
Good night. Thanks, guys.
Give me just a minute while I clarify.
And here's Dakota.
I hope you're all proud of yourselves.
That's good stuff. No, that no.